Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and heard my cry. He also brought me out of the horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has...
Glory to the Most High Jah, Rastafari, King of Kings, Lords of Lords, conquering Lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of God, light of the world, is these Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie. Protect my son David as he traveled this lonely path. Steer my son far from bloody men who surround him with opinions sharp as daggers. Bless him with a vision to distinguish friends from foes. Bless his listeners with understanding and patience. Remind to critics that all judgment belongs to thee. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy presence, Selah.
Shalom, Rastafari. Yes, I, Shavua Tov, a good strong seven right here. This is Ras Ayadonis Rastafari. This is Yadin here. LOJ Society, and here we have the Rastafari podcast, a Monday podcast right here. Today's daily psalm, we have Psalm 62. Here we're in the 32nd degree of Ionized Sabbatical Studies, Behar, on the mountain. And here, this is the fourth of the seven Sabbaths, to say the Shabua, the 7 days here, according to the counting of the Omer here in the season. I'd like to share a reasoning, shared it earlier than Pesach, but again, here as we're counting the growth of wheat, you know, according to the feast, the festival of weeks, and the first type, the growth of the natural, you know, the natural wheat, how's it growing? Right? Seven Sabbaths complete to the Pentecost in the New Testament sense, which is the 50th day. Now, the second of the two truths is regarding the Messiah resurrected, the first of the brethren, and we can say the brother of brothers, that first fruits, as we have with the first fruits, that one sheaf. And then, according to the old type, no wheat will be eaten until it's all like fully grown. And then when it's fully grown, before we even eat it, we present a presentation. So here in linking the pattern from the Old Testament and applying in the new and the living way, it's to our growth, right? It's those irritical fruits, right, of the seed of the word of Moshiach in I and I hearts and minds and I and I liberty, right? Bringing us forward to the feast of the Holy Spirit, a.k.a. in the new covenant, the harvest, Shavuot. So I like to share the lesson of bread. It's a reasoning on the lesson of bread. Was reasoning with I and I, brethren. Hilab Rashi Moore was reasoning on this particular subject matter, you know, concerning, you know, bread, you know. And I like to share, again, the lesson of bread, because one of the offerings, according to HaTorah, right, is bringing forward my two loaves of bread, bacon with leaven. Now, even the whole point about leaven here at coming up to the fourth of the seven feasts of Jehovah, but there was to be no leaven, right, in the first of the three times. The first of the three times, beginning off the seven feasts, Passover, the days of unleavened bread, 7 days, and then we get first fruits. And first fruits, right, correspond to the Moshiach being resurrected on that first day, the first day that the Gentiles call Sunday, because the Torah say on the morrow after the Shabbat, and we know that the Shabbat is the seventh day that the Gentiles call Saturday. So we get that first day, the resurrection, that first day offering of the first fruits. And then we are commanded to count seven Shabbats complete. So Yeshua HaMashiach, the first begotten of the dead, the first fruit, right? And then those who are of the Moshiach, right, at his coming. So here, brothers and sisters, going to share that hopefully here on the air. But first this, seeing that this is the second day of the Shavuot, the second day of the week right here. So we're counting here. We're at 3 weeks complete, 7 times 3, that's 21. Here, the second day of the week, 21, 22. We're the 23rd day of the 49 plus 1 day harvest count right here. First word right here, Mondays to Fridays from the liturgy of His Majesty. Here's how we sanctify the time, Shabbat the time, Ilify, Holify, Ilify the time. Here, word sound, power.
Andenya, Kasenyo iska arb baluta kenoch, zawater yemi bal. Said on the days from Monday to Friday. Salam lanchi hun inatachin kavrit beta Christian. Gidda gdaochish lepazion in kwe etagetunacho. Salam lanchi hun inatachin kavrit beta Christian. Peace be to you, our mother. O honorable church, thy walls are embroidered with topaz. Peace, salam, shalom be to thee, our mother, O honorable church.
Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
So here the evening psalm, Psalm 48, right here for the second day of the seventh.
Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever,
Zion, main thing here of the standing psalm, the evening psalm for the second day, Psalm 48, here. Also, the upper room of Zion, that's where the Pentecost, where the Shavuot in the Brit Chadash occurred, according to Acts of the Apostles. So Zion, theme right here, Aswad, check it.
up and fly away. How many times I've heard you say you want to be my own? How many times I've heard you say I and I belong? This road we trod in, winding and turning, as we bend and you go under in this bright, bright morning sun. Sun has fallen from the sky, thousands lay now.
To this lesson here, lesson of bread. And though we had originally shared it around the Pesach time, still the theme right here is bread, even the counting of the Omer, the counting of the growth, connection with the Pentecost or the Feast of the Holy Spirit in the upper room of Zion. So here's the lesson of bread. I'd like to share this right here, bread. What's the lesson?
Now, there's a very good section in this book right here by one named Rabbi Daniel Lapin, L-A-P-I-N. It's Business Secrets from the Bible, Spiritual Success Strategies for Financial Abundance. It's an interesting book right here. I mentioned it before. Business Secrets from the Bible, Rabbi Daniel Lapin. He has some videos as well. Give thanks to the Habarim, Brother Yifdeya, Brother Yasin, also for sharing certain links. I remember, I think there were some audios on the upper room of Zion that was shared previously. But here, in the season, in the time, and just to kind of zoom in, right, on the practical, right, and also the prophetic and the prosperity aspect, the baraka, the blessing of the word, right, in its fullest sense. And what does Torah, right, what does Jah's direction, instruction, teachers, and the ancient Chokmah, the wise mind, right, the wise mind. Now, there's an intro here. We're in chapter 6, and we're zooming in right here on chapter 6. And here, this statement here in Rabbi Daniel Lapin's book, "Our true wealth is other people," reminds me of the teaching of His Majesty, right, that the ultimate resource of a nation is its people, right? And so we're just going to scroll into this section right here. He says, "You, I must start loving other people and giving them," he says, "the respect they deserve." We will, you know, because of what the scripture says about respect, right, that Anna, right? The word Anna is the operative word. The word Anna, right? There's that word to honor, right? You know, to honor. You know what I mean? Honor, honorable, like the honor that they deserve, right? They are your everything. Love them, respect them, honor them, value them. Every single one of them, no matter how irritating or inconsequential a person may seem, you need them. People collectively are your wealth. This is why our ability to make money depends on how well we connect and communicate with others. Now, later in this book, he says we're going to help you learn to become more fluent, articulate, persuasive in order to better connect, communicate, collaborate, and create with other people. Now, here is where this particular word we'd like to share right here is. It says, have you ever wondered why bread is sacramental in all of the faiths that are based on the Bible of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? A sacred sacrament involving bread is common to many churches, not just Judaism and Christianity, though suddenly all flavors of those. I have my regular Sabbath table at which my wife prepares two special Sabbath breads, and nothing starts until we make a bracha, a blessing over the bread. What is so special about bread, you may ask? The answer can be found in the beginning of Genesis, the first book of Moshe, the Hebrew book, Bereshit, called Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned when they ucked out by eating the fruit of the tree in the Gan Eden, in the Ganeta Eden, the Garden of Eden. They were upset. They prayed. They atoned for their sin, for their chet, their uckery, their falling short, their lack, their forfeiture. Finally, Elohim said, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. This is often erroneously believed, Bilaiv, to be part of their punishment for eating the forbidden fruit. This is false. That is pseudo, to believe that this word, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread, is part of their punishment for the eating of the forbidden fruit. That's pseudo. The punishment, what was the punishment? The punishment was eviction from the Gan Eden, the Ganeta Eden, the Garden of Eden, and the ushering of Mot, Mavet, some say, Mavet, Mot, death, into the world. Eating bread is no punishment. Bread is delicious. By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. This is Elohim's mercy. Adam and Hawa, right? Hewan had sinned, had ucked up, had forfeited, had fallen short, and they are now being shown mercy. Elohim is telling them from now onward they will eat that which they have worked for by the sweat of their brows. He does this because he knows they will find satisfaction in reaping what they have sowed. This is the key. Finding satisfaction in reaping what they have sowed. They will better savor that bread which they have earned. Elohim invents a food that only human beings are going to eat, and that is bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Bread is, he says, bread is an incredible food, right? He says a wonderful, very credible, right? Food, because it takes cooperation, together operating, cooperation between people. Someone must farm the wheat. Someone must grind the wheat into flour. Someone must bake the flour into bread. Here we see cooperation. Here we see cooperation among at least three separate disciplines, usually three different people. In modern times, it also requires agricultural workers and industry to build the farm equipment, trucks and truckers to haul the bread, and vendors to market it. All these people cooperate, and the result is a delicious, crusty, warm loaf of bread. Prior to bread, whenever Adam or Hewan or Hawa felt hungry, they simply reached up for the nearest plum or apple and ate whatever was at hand. But from here on out, they would have to plan in advance in order to make bread. Another key point, plan in advance in order to make bread. One must plan in advance in order to make bread. When you are hungry for bread, it is not the time to start planning wheat for flour. Again, when you are hungry for bread, it is not the time to start planning or planting. It's not the time to start planting wheat for flour. That must be done in advance. Bread, making bread requires faith, emunah, admittance, emnet, right? Planting wheat and flour, right, is not when you're hungry. You have to do this all in advance. This is an important point right here. Planning in advance in order to make bread. When you are hungry for bread is not the time to start planting wheat for flour. That must be done in advance. Making bread requires faith. When you put wheat seeds in the ground, that the crop will grow. In other words, making bread requires emunah, emnet. This is interesting how we think about this. the earth is Yahweh, Jehovah's, and the fullness thereof, that making bread requires emunah, imnet, amene, ma'amin, right? Faith, admittance, right? Emunah, imnet, the hymenot, the living faith, faith, admittance, admitting as true, right? That admittance in truth and admitting as true. Making bread requires faith that when you put wheat seeds in the ground, that the crop will grow. Flour must be made into dough. Next step of that process, flour must be made into dough. That must then be baked. Cooperation and time are needed. This is the key. Cooperation, working together, and time are needed to create anything of true human value. That is the lesson of bread. The lesson of bread. Right? The lesson of bread. Right? The baraka, the blessing of bread. But first, the lesson of bread. And it's absolutely essential to get this lesson of bread. What is the lesson of bread? You have to plan in advance in order to make bread. When you are hungry for bread, is not the time to start planting wheat for flour. That must be done in advance. Making bread requires faith that when you put wheat seeds in the ground, that the crop will grow. So there's a relationship of faith, of admittance, right? Of imnet, of emunah, of the hymenot, and in the hymenot. Making bread requires faith that when you put wheat seeds, the seed, the lesson of the seed, so it went forth to sow a seed. And when you put wheat seeds in the ground, that the crop will grow. Flour must be made into dough. That then must be baked. That must then be baked after that process. So there's a process. Cooperation and time are needed to create anything of true human value. That's a very important point. Cooperation, working together, and time are needed to create anything of true human value. The lesson of bread. Absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. See, so bread, even just the lesson of bread. What's the lesson of bread? What's the blessing of bread? There is more, however, to the rite, to the ritual. After making the baraka, the blessing, on the bread, over my table, over I and I table, I sprinkle the bread with salt. And not because it tastes good or because salt is a nutrient for the body. Not because salt tastes good or because salt is a nutrient for the body. The Bible, the scriptures, right, is not a handbook for our bodies. Elohim assumes that human beings will develop medical science and knowledge, and medical science and knowledge, gnosis, da'at, scientia, scientia, will tell us what our bodies need. If the salt in the sacrament was for health reasons, because somebody say, well, salt is healthy. Yes, it is. The salt tastes good. Yes, it is, but that's not the reason. But if salt in the sacrament was for health reasons, we might also sprinkle a little potassium and iron fillings over our bread and put them on the offering as well. Of course, we do not do that. Why do we sprinkle salt? So the connection of bread and the connection also here of salt. Why do we sprinkle salt? We sprinkle salt over the bread because in the book of Leviticus, the third book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that is called Leviticus, Vayikra, in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, it reads, you shall salt every meal offering. KJV says meat offering, but here this is the bloodless offering. Every meal offering, minka, right? You shall salt every meal offering with salt. You must not stop the salt of your Elohim's, your true good, your true God's covenant from upon your offerings, what you offer. On every offering, you must offer salt. On every offering. Now, there's a very key Berit Chadasha, right? New covenant, renewed covenant sense of that. But let's just build right here. The reason why we sprinkle salt over the bread, right, the Shabbat bread, right, on that Shabbat, that sabbatical table, why do we do this, right? Well, we do this because of what it is said and what we read and what is read in the book of Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. You shall salt every meal, minka, right, the grain offering, right, the meal offering, falsely interpreted in the latter sense of reading the 1611 as meat that is bloodless, right, over the grain offering, right, the meal, the minka. You shall salt every minka, meal offering, with salt. You must not stop the salt of your Elohim's covenant from upon your offerings. On every offering, you must offer salt. So what about salt? The salt creates a little environment of holiness, of idleness, of set-apartness, a mini-temple. At our dinner, at our dining table, the shulchan, the salt creates a little environment of holiness, of set-apartness, a mini temple at our seder table, our mesob, right, at the dinner, the dining table. in the sacramental moment, salt has a very important role to play. The salt is nothing other than the capturing of a primeval human memory. What is the salt? The salt is nothing other than a capturing of a primeval human memory that the sacrifices in HaHeikal, in the temple, in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, use salt. This, of course, begs the question, why salt? Why? Why not iron or potassium? The answer is that salt is special and metaphorical. So according to the metaphysics, or there's a metaphorical sense, right, of it. Salt is the combination of two elements. What is salt? Salt is the combination of two elements, sodium and chlorine. It takes an atom of each to make a molecule of salt. One of these atoms is a positive ion and the other a negative ion, causing them to join together to form salt. It may interest you to know that prior to joining, sodium is terribly toxic and chlorine is poisonous. But together, they become something the body needs and craves. They become something tov, good. And so it is with people. The message here is that you can take two separate human beings who may be lo tov, or no good, useless, or even toxic alone. But when you merge them together, they become more than the sum of their parts. This merger may be a marriage, or it may be a business partnership. This is what salt in the temple in HaHeikal, right, in the Beit Mikdash, right, in the holy house in the temple, reminds us that when you bring people together, the result is something so much more creative, so much more powerful than individuals could ever do or be alone, all one. Have you ever stopped to wonder why so many expressions for money involve bread? Have you ever? You just thought about it like, this is interesting that so many expressions for money involve bread. Will you lend me some bread? Got any dough? Many languages engage in this metaphorical association, not just Hebrew, because there is a primeval recollection of bread's capacity for bringing people together to bring about creativity and wealth. Once again, many languages engage in this metaphorical association, not just Hebrew, because there is a primeval recollection of bread's capacity for bringing people together to bring about creativity and wealth. It reminds us that in emulation of Elohim's ability to create the universe, the Iniverse, we too, I and I too, have the collective power of creation. We create babies, we create art, we create inventions, medicine, and bread. And yes, of course, we create business enterprises. Just remember that the creativity, this wealth, is only possible when we join together. Collaboration requires at least two people working together, at least two people who are not identical. And while it brings about joy and gratification, the third tenet, creation, requires a deferment of gratification. The third tenet, creation, it requires a deferment, putting off of gratification. If you understand that creativity requires you to join with others, it should become obvious that other people are the key to your success. You must begin to look at them with love. You must, look at them with love. You can express that love by looking for ways to serve or do favors or treat others with honor, respect, love. This can be as simple as smiling and silently admitting your love for others to yourself.
Try this. Before job interviews, phone conversations, business meetings, or any other interaction with another human being, put a smile on your face and tell yourself that you really love this other person. Realize that were you in their shoes, you may be less gracious than they are. You must show authentic warmth to others, even if they do not visibly reciprocate. Force yourself to do this if need be. Over time, it will become natural and feel and be genuine. over time, your words and actions penetrate your soul, your nephesh, your psyche, and your nephesh, your soul, your psyche, believes and adopts them. Don't be discouraged by negative thoughts that may arise unbidden in your mind. You may feel like you should not say or do things that do not feel true in your heart, but such thoughts are destructive and violate biblical secrets of the ancient Judaic chokmah, the ancient Judaic wisdom, ancient Jewish wisdom and wise mind and inner understanding. There are many instances in which we should or must say things we don't believe, both to ourselves and to others. Consider a friend. Consider a friend who asks for your advice about a new suit only after they have purchased it and removed the tags. Though you might well believe the suit to be a sartorial disaster, they can no longer return it, and your advice is moot. In these cases, Elohim wants us, I and I, to respond only with warm enthusiasm so that we may add to their joy of their new possession. Obviously, if they ask your opinion prior to purchase, your honest assessment is probably being solicited, and you should probably offer it. But if they are simply seeking affirmation of their choice, why would you criticize them for it?
Yes. Here. This is from, we're looking at how we shared what we call the lesson of bread. Rabbi Daniel Lappin, this book here, Business Secrets from the Bible, Spiritual Success Strategies for Financial Abundance. So it was actually in chapter 6 or secret number 6, the part of the chapter we shared right here, some annotations, updates, application for I and I. So this chapter is called Everything Important and Joyful You Have Achieved Has Been in Partnership with at least one other person. Again, the chapter here from Rabbi Daniel Lappin's book, Business Secrets from the Bible, I guess we call it chapter 6. It says secret number 6, secret pound sign 6. And the title here is Everything Important and Joyful You Have Achieved Has Been in Partnership with at least one other person. One other person. So actually, I scrolled through the first part of this chapter right here, and it's some more interesting things in this particular chapter. But when I saw the lesson concerning, what was that right there? I don't know, I'm hearing some sound come through the phone. Yeah. Anyway, when I went through this particular chapter right here, okay, here's the part right here, where it's on page 40. Just to go over what we have picked up and who's reasoning on this, and you know, some things being reasoned on reminded me about this particular chapter here. Our true wealth is other people. That's I think where we began off. Our true wealth is other people. Now I want to bring out His Majesty some of the wise saying of Kedemah, how this lies to the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, where he says, you know, the most valuable resource of any nation is its people. It's very interesting. The most valuable and vital resource, right? When we think about resources, we might think about things in the earth, in the ground, minerals, so forth and so on, water, trees, you know, those kind of resources on that level. But really, it's all about people. So it began off saying in this section here, our true wealth is other people, right? And just to go over this a little bit and highlight some of our highlights right here, because there's some things that we like to like kind of circle around on right here. For example, let's go through this again right here, brothers and sisters, because it was a very interesting lesson, especially considering that emphasis in the glory of His Majesty. For my part, I glory in the Bible. And so therefore, many of us may have a bad perspective because of the Gentiles and the way that the Bible and Christianity and all of that and this. But then with others who do not fall under, you say, that curse or that consequence, we get to find a healthy perspective to the scripture and to the Bible, right? And what other people may call religion truly is true spirituality. Recognize this fact here, that our true wealth right? Our true wealth outside of our health wealth, you know, with good health, right? You can achieve all else, you know? So outside of our personal wealth, which is good health, right? In spirit and soul and body, man being a trinity created in the image and after likeness. So apart from that, starting out from the healthiness, the teina, we say teina yisteling. Even when we say shalom, shalom is not just peace, 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 as we say it in the West, but it refers to also our wealth as well as our health. So our true wealth is other people. Starting by loving other people and giving them the respect or the honor and or respect they deserve. They, in this realm of things, is I and I everything. In other words, you know, of course, a person is not a thing, but when we think about the things that we think are important, we often put people and human beings who are created in the image and after likeness often last, right? So recognize that people truly is our, quote, everything. Love them, honor them, respect them, value them, right? Instead of hating people and disrespecting and dishonoring people and divide, no. Love them, honor, respect them, value them, every single one of them. See, when you do that, when you start out looking for the good, then the other becomes apparent. But that wasn't your intent. Your intent was still good, right? Every single one of them, no matter how irritating or inconsequential a person, keyword, may seem. Sometimes we see things and then we recognize chance. I wasn't seeing that correctly. So no matter how other people, some people may seem irritating or inconsequential, right? When we ultimately recognize there is a need, and I need them, people collectively, the community, the common unity is the true wealth and is your and I and I's true wealth. As His Master says, the most vital resource of a nation is its people. This is why our ability, the ability individually in our indivisible dual capacity and collectively, our ability to make money, it depends on how well we, I and I, connect and how well we, I and I, communicate with others. Just thought of something right here, from the glory of His Majesty, the B-I-B-L-E, overstand it and overstanding it truthfully. Right outside of the paradigm of so-called white supremacy. Here, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because we're talking about business secrets on the Bible. Here, we're in the season of counting the Omer and was counting the growth of the wheat. And I'd like to touch on more on the Omer count. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the section is called Warning and Exhortation and Building Up to the B'nai Yisrael, to this people, to this covenant-keeping community. And here is a chapter 8 right here. Let's see, chapter 8. Oh, yeah, here we go, chapter 8. Scrolling forward to verse 18. Well, actually, the whole chapter, but I don't want to go through the whole chapter, but just some highlights that connect with this reasoning here on the lesson, right, the lesson of bread. Verse 17, 8 and 17, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, it says, And thou say in thine heart, right, when we enter into the land and we reap those rewards, you know, and reap those blessings of Jalan and the earth back to life, the reality outside of the grid, the concrete jungle, back to creation, nature. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. Verse 18. But thou shalt remember Exiavihar, the sustainer, Amlaki, Exiav, the sustainer of thy source, Yahweh Eloheka, he who be, we be thy power. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, what's interesting in the Royal Amharic, this word power, this sense of power, comes out as the Amharic word chilota. And chilota means ability. So in reading this verse here from the Metzach Kedus, the wisdom of His Majesty's Bible, for it is He, the sustainer, our source, that giveth thee, the I, the ability to get wealth. Now, it doesn't say to get money. You know, we have to understand the difference between being wealthy and being rich, the difference between wealth and money, right? The difference between an aspect and the essence. For it is He that giveth thee power, in the sense of what kind of power, the ability to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant. And so here from the Hebraic, and according to the glory of His Majesty, even wealth has a purpose, right? The ability to get wealth is given for a purpose. And what's the purpose here in HaTorah? Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, a section that is subtitled Warnings and Exhortations, Warnings and Building Up, Building I and I Up, that the ability to get wealth is so that He may establish His covenant that He sware to thy fathers, I and I patriarchs, as it is this day. So the key of wealth, scripturally, according to the glory of His Majesty, there's a purpose, and that purpose in the right way, in Yahweh, truth and life, is the further establishment of His covenant. See, this is a big difference in the way we hear about money and covenant and among, you know, the so-called Christians or amongst the Western Gentile Christians. You know, it's not anything about His covenant. And those people who see it in connection with His covenant, we can see how it's more holistic. Therefore, once again, let's just return to this right here, Daniel Lappin's book on business secrets from the Bible, spiritual, you know, because how we think in our heart and mind, how we feel is all part of our spirit and our soul, our psyche. Spiritual success strategies for financial abundance. I would begin off with the verse in Deuteronomy 8 and 18 and the proper understanding of it, right? But here, later in this particular document, right, there's a section to help us learn to become more fluent, articulate, persuasive, in order to better connect and communicate, as well as collaborate, co-labor, and create. Remember what Garmawi Nagus Neges, the King Messiah, said? He said Africa waits her creators, and create with other people. Have you ever wondered why bread, here we're counting the growth of the wheat, right, called the Omer count, right? And we're commanded basically not to, in covenant keeping, we don't eat any of that wheat until it's all grown, until first we offer that offering to Jehovah, to I and I landlord, for what He has given to I and I. Have you ever wondered why bread is sacramental? Even the word sacramental, as the Rastaman, the elders will say, pick sense on what seems to be nonsense. Sacra, like sacred, holy, set apart, mental, holy, set apart, mind state. Why is bread sacramental in all the faith, right? The hymenote, the living faith that are based on the glory of His Majesty, i.e. that's based on the Bible, properly and truthfully understood, overstood, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A sacred sacrament involving bread is common to the many churches, not just in Judaism, among the Jews or Christians, or even other cultures also have, we share this in common. As His Majesty said, even though, you know, certain history and historic forms may militate and bind us to certain groups, there's that mystic connection, right? Now, it went into the section about the Sabbath table, where the author here speaks about on the regular Sabbath Shabbat table, how his wife, his Isha, how she prepares, his Oset prepares two special Sabbath loaves. This is what we have actually when we go into Leviticus right here. We just had Leviticus the previous Shavuah, right? Leviticus chapter 23 with the feast, the appointments, and we also connected what the three times in the year with His Majesty's autobiography in chapter 4, book 1, in the Awaj, in the proclamation, where he reminded them about the Sabbath and keeping the Shabbat, and said to them that if workers on the Shabbat, when work on the Shabbat, they will be punished. And then to the end of that proclamation, he spoke about the three annual feasts, the three annual festivals. And when properly understood, they match what we have here in Leviticus, right? So here in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 17 says, y'all shall bring out, this is after the two sevens clash, the seven Shabbats plus one, seven times seven, 49. It says, even to the morrow after the seventh Shabbat. So that means the seventh Shabbat, right? That will be the Saturday. So this here takes place, right, on the first day that the Gentiles call Sunday, but we know as the first day. It says, even to the morrow after the seventh Shabbat. So the day after the seventh Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye and y'all shall offer a new, KJV, as we mentioned, calls it a meat offering, right? That's what the elder said, pick sense out of nonsense. When we study this, we recognize, this whole meat offering in the Amharic, reading His Majesty's Bible in the Amharic, he calls it the Ehil Meswayet. Ehil. Ehil is basically grain, and Hebraically it comes out the same. Right, it's the grain offering. So when you see where it says a new meat offering, someone say, oh, that's dead. No, it's actually grain. Grain is very significant in the offering. We see, looking through the Torah, it's only a concession that Jehovah gave to his children and to humanity at that time, because they still were growing. They still were spiritually, aristically evolving. Right? There is truly evolution, but it's not so much the evolution that you've been told evolution. But we're talking about the psycho-spiritual evolution, the more inner evolution. And ye shall offer a new meal offering. That's a bloodless offering. That's a grain. Let me emphasize grain. That's a grain offering, right? As there are five main types of grain that are mentioned and referred to in the HaTorah, five primary types of grain. You can see almost like five grain species. And we can see that a lot of other grain is either a combination or come from these ancient species. Verse 17 says, y'all shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves, right? Loaves. So another key distinction, just to go over this so that ones can see the pattern and the contrast, the similarity, but also the difference. Here, when we come to the fourth of the seven appointments, right, we are commanded to present loaves of bread. And these loaves of bread shall have leaven. However, when we begin off with Pesach, with Passover, and then for 7 days of unleavened bread, there's to be no leaven, no yeast, no leaven. So here where it says, y'all shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two-tenth deals. Another point here, brothers and sisters, we're going to get into the science, the measurements. But we go over these things in the Topahim. You know, it says a heen, like a drink offering, a heen. Now here it's saying two-tenth deals. How much is that? What's the weight of that? Get into weights and measures. So stay tuned. Chabarim, weights and measures. It says, they shall be a fine flour. Another proof that the so-called meat offering was from the old King James way of saying meat was whatever was edible. Meat never meant flesh. Whenever they wanted an old-time flesh, they would basically say flesh when they wanted debtors. But meat basically meant something edible, which could be flesh, but didn't have to be. Here, the meat offering is a grain offering. That's why it says, they shall be a fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. They are the first fruits to Jehovah. So right here, that part actually connects with what Rabbi Daniel Lapton says right here when he says, I have my regular Sabbath Shabbat table, the regular Shabbat Shulchan, the Sabbath table at which my wife prepares two special, notice that, two special Sabbath breads. Here's where it comes from right here in HaTorah. Leviticus 23 and 17. So even some things among the Yehudi, the Jews, right, black and white and otherwise, some things are actually scripture. Now, other things are not. Our duty to study, to shoot, our self-approval. So here we have the two special Sabbath breads. And he writes, nothing starts until we make a bracha, a blessing over the bread. It's almost like somebody gives their child something or gives a child something, right? And proper parents, sometimes when somebody like a family person gives their child something and the child takes it and about to run off with it, right? And they say, oh, what do you say? So the bracha, right? So the blessing. What do we say? Before we eat, we say the bracha. So what is so special about bread? This is here, we like to focus on this reason as we're still in the season right here, here at the, 21st, 22nd, the 23rd, here we're at the 23rd day, right, of the Omer count. What is the Omer? The Omer is the wheat, that sheaf of wheat, right, that sheaf of wheat right here. So the answer can be found in Bereshi, the answer to the question, what is so special about bread? In Bereshith, or called Genesis, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, I'll put it like this. When Adam sinned and Eve was beguiled, or he caused Eve to be beguiled, because it's interesting because it says about Hawa that, you know, there was a transgression, but upon the man, there was the more responsibility. This is our view from studying the text. But this is read right here. Get through this. When Adam and Eve upped up by eating the fruit of the tree in the Gan Eden, right? They were upset. They prayed. They atoned for their uckery. How do we know this? Because we have the Ethiopic book of the Gedla Adam, right? The Gedla Adam, the struggle of Adam, the contending of Adam. In a sense, the Gedla Adam from the Royal Amharic would be almost like the jihad. The jihad, which means a struggle, the Gedla Adam, the ancient document that gives additional details. You also find in lost books of the Bible, forgotten books of Eden, right? The book, what they call the Book of Adam and Eve, it actually was preserved by the Israelites of Ethiopia. So here, the writer here says that they were upset. They prayed, they atoned for their uckery. You have that in the Ethiopic Book of Adam and Eve, the Gedla Adam. The fuller name of the book is the Contendings of Adam and Eve Against Satan, against the adversary, Satan. That's a fuller name, but often referred to as simply as the Book of Adam and Eve, but it's an Ethiopic document. We like to emphasize that. So people be talking and talking, but they never say, well, it's the Israelites of Ethiopia that preserved this, and the Orthodox Church, you know, honor, value, you know, respect. Finally, Elohim said, right, we have in the narrative, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. Now, how many of us have heard this before and we have erroneously believed or accepted it to be a part of their punishment? I must admit, this is how I was taught it, or at least told it, and when I read it based on that way of looking at it, oh, it does seem like, yeah, I guess they have the sweat of the brow, right? But this is an error. Right? This is often erroneous believed to be part of their punishment for eating the forbidden fruit. That is absolutely false. The punishment actually was the eviction. The punishment was the eviction. They're saying by the sweat of your brow, you eat your bread, because in the Gan Eden, everything was provided. Now you're going to have to go out there into the land and cause these things to come from the earth. So therefore, this is what you're going to have to do. Just was announcing the reality of the situation. The real punishment was eviction, right? Like for the Bnei Yisrael, right? What was the real punishment for the children of Israel? It was eviction, right, from the promised land. The punishment was eviction from the Gan Eden, the Garden of Delights, and as well as the ushering in of death, of mavet, of mut, right, into the world. Eating bread is no punishment. Just to point it out there, eating bread is no punishment. Just a little bit more here, because we know we shared the audio, but just to go through this a little bit more and give a little more emphasis as well as connect the dots, especially here in the season of the counting of the Omer, of the counting of the wheat, of the counting of the growth from the land, and in the new covenant sense, the renewed way, the counting of that seed, the seed in our ground, the seed of Jah's word in our consciousness, here in the season, how is it growing? How much of the fruit of the seed of John's word do we see within I and we here in this season, here in this time? So spiritual, there's a spirituality as well as addressing the agricultural, the seasonal significances. Because as Matthew speaks about the spiritual, as Gormawi Nugus Neges, the King Messiah, speaks about the spiritual and the material, that balancing of the spiritual and the material. Therefore, eating bread is no punishment. Bread is delicious. By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. That was actually Hailahim, Elohim's mercy. Adam and Eve, according to the narrative, had messed up, had ucked up, and they are now being shown mercy. Elohim, Hailahim, the power, the Almighty, is telling them from now onward, they will eat that which they have worked for by the sweat of their own brow. You know, it kind of, I don't want to go there with that just yet. I was going to like the social system we have of so-called, you know, they call welfare and social services. It's almost like in the same, kind of a same context on the left, right? In a sense, in the Gan Ba'eden, they were receiving, you say, the welfare, the good, the welfare of Jehovah. They didn't have to do for themselves, as it were. They only had to avoid one particular area, which they didn't, and thus we see what happened. So Elohim was telling them from now on whether they will eat bread that they have worked for by their own effort. In other words, you're not going to receive effortless. Without doing anything, you're not going to get like that. We live in a society that creates a kind of a Babylonian hanging gardens. We're in the Babylonian hanging gardens of Eden. You know, because it gives a pseudo of the truth, right? But why did John show that mercy, that chesed to them? He does this because he knows that they will find satisfaction. And His Majesty Gormawi Nugus Nekedemawi Haile Selassie speaks of this too. You know, like there's a satisfaction, right, from whatever we earn, whether much or little, from our own activity, from our own working, from our own doing. There's that satisfaction. So he's a saying today, yesterday, forever, and thus it was, according to the glory of His Majesty, the B-I-B-L-E. Then he showed them that mercy and said by the sweat of their brow, because he'd know that they would find satisfaction in reaping what they have sown. That ever happened to you? Something that you have done, it reaps, it becomes rewarding, and you know that you had to sweat, you had to struggle, but yet it provided not just for yourself, but for others. Is there ever any satisfaction, happiness? Were you joyful or were you sad? Because you reaped good things that you had sown. They will better savor that bread and the flavor of that bread which they have earned. Hailahim, Elohim, he invents a food that only human beings are going to eat, bread. Now, we're going to put a little footnote here. I know some of the Havarim, some of y'all have studied, you know, we study other things as well as matches the scripture, you know, to have that scripture knowledge as well as secular knowledge or also other things. And some of the Gnostics. So let's bring this up right here, because we couldn't do it before, but we're going to do it right now, right here. Let's look at this, or let's listen to this really right here. If you have the Gnostic gospel, I think it's of Thomas. Let's just do this right here, brothers and sisters. Give me one moment just to bring this up on the board right here. Okay. We call this right here some Gnostic quotables. Gnostic quotables. And this right here, I think it's from the Gospel of Philip. It's from the Gospel according to Philip. Remember Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch? It was Philippos, right? Lover of horses, Philippos. Right, who had baptized the Ethiopian official. Remember the word sound of the King of Kings, Haile Selassie, concerning the Ethiopian official. Well, here we have the Gospel of Philip, and this connects with this point in Daniel Lapton's Business Secrets from the Bible, where he says that Elohim invents a food that only human beings are going to eat. What is that food that Elohim is said to have invented? That's bread. Here we have Gospel of Philip. This is called Christ, or we say in the Hebraic sense, Mashiach, the anointed, Messiah, Messiah, the bringer of bread. Hear this. Chabarim.
Christos, HaMoshiach, the anointed, the bringer of bread. Christ, the bringer of bread, according to the Gospel of Philip. Before the anointed, Christos, HaMoshiach, came, there was no bread in the world. Just as the Gan Eden, as paradise, where Adam was, had many trees for the food of the animals, but did not have wheat for the food of human beings. And human beings were nourished like the animals. But when the anointed Christos HaMoshiach, the perfect human being, came, he brought bread from heaven, from Shemayim, so that human beings might be fed with the food of the human being. Christ, the bringer of bread.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Give thanks to the Afro Moshiach. Yes, I give thanks to the Negro Christos. So right there, that was from the Gospel of Philip. I think that was the 11th. It's like broken down like into like the 11th, like saying, like a little paragraphical right there. And that's the 11th one right there. But we thought that was interesting right here, what Daniel Lapton, from a Judaic perspective, is bringing out from the study of the scripts here and business secrets from the Bible, where he says that Elohim, the true good, the true God, invented a food that only human beings are going to eat, bread. That we recall who said, chant. That sounded like one of the Gnostic quotables. You shall know the truth. Gnostic, the gnosis, to know, the da'at, that the Messiah was the bringer of bread. And just even that whole context there, as we shared from the word sounds there concerning the Gan, the Eden, the Garden of Eden. Now, therefore, just moving forward on bread. Like over here, we're counting the substance of the bread. We're counting the wheat. Right, so actually it begins from the first fruits, and the first fruit is the third of the seven appointments, the appointed times, the feast, the festivals of Jehovah. And that third one there, it corresponds in the new covenant sense, right, according to the King of Kings Christ, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Jesus Christos, with that resurrection day that was, and that resurrection, which was on the morrow, which is the next day, right? The next day after the Shabbat. Remember, 3 days, three nights, the resurrection, early Sunday. Yes. So bread, once again, the bread, right? I am the bread of life, right? The I am phrases with bread, the connection of bread. Now, bread is, some say, incredible. I don't use that term like other people do, because credible basically means faithful or believable or admitting as truthable. Incredible means it's not, it has no credit to it. So I would say that bread is a very credible food. Why? Because it takes cooperation between people. That is a highlighted theme right there. Take note. Bread. Why is the study of bread, the lesson of bread as bread is used? What is bread, even from the beginning of the narrative, HaTorah, right, even to the fulfillment, the Brit Hadashah, we see this recurring theme of bread, right? So bread, a very credible food. It takes cooperation between people. See, we don't see it like that today because, you know, we can just, you know, you can just go to the store. You know, if you got some money, you can go to the store and you can just buy some bread. You know, it's easy peasy like that, right? But not so, right, in real life, like in the real world, right? You know, we're living, you're on a grid. You know, we're in the times of the Gentiles, but actually we're in the end times of the nation. We talk about the end of the system of things. That means we're going to have to return to life, return to the nature, return to nature, and the reality of cooperation between people. Nowadays, if somebody got a bag full of money, you know, they could probably buy most things, right? But in the real world, it's not about the so-called money or the gold or silver on the real level. It's about people for the basics of life and liberty, such as bread. And even in the Our Father prayer, which is the ancient Hebraic, Judaic prayer, Abinu Sheba Shemayim, our Father who art in heaven, right? He says, give us this day what? Our daily bread. But it's kind of interesting because they give us this day our daily bread, right? But yet we go forward to do what? We have to work the bread. We have to work the land. We have to grow the wheat, so forth and so on. And then we have to process the wheat, right? We have to process the wheat from the raw level, right, to the more refined level, to even that point that a cook or a baker can really begin to bake it, right? Like right now, if you want to bake your own bread, you can go to the store and the flour is already there on the shelf. You know, you got the money, you can buy, you know, the flour and just put, you know, mix it up, you know, do your thing, right? But that cuts off the ground of the reality, right? The ground, the earth. And heal up to all the Rastafari farmers out there, Ayakongo, yes, I, you know, Dawid, Oregani, yes, I, and all the other brothers and sisters, right, who are laboring the land and learning the wisdom and the nature of God's creation. So bread is a credible food. It takes cooperation between people. For example, someone must farm the wheat. Someone must grind the wheat into flour. Someone must bake the flour into bread. Someone must do that. Now, a lot of us would say, you know, because how we live nowadays and sometimes, you know, you always can't just wait around for somebody else. You know, I learned to farm the wheat, right? I learned to grind the wheat into flour, right? I learned to bake the flour into bread. Okay. But in a community, remember the orientation is the covenant, right? The orientation is the glory of His Majesty. So looking at the B-I-B-L-E properly. Someone must farm the wheat, like one man or a man of mine or one to one's a farmer, right? And then after it is farmed and it grows, and this season we count the growth that when we're in the land, right? Someone must grind the wheat into flour, but someone also must harvest the wheat from the field. See, sometimes it's easier for you to just sow a whole field, right? To sow a whole field with the seeds, right? And even water the whole field. But when it comes time to harvest, there's a window. You got to get that window of opportunity. You can't leave what you have grown just there. It will mess up, you know, that process in the future, right? So someone must farm the wheat. He said someone must grind the wheat into flour. He didn't even mention that someone must harvest it. And what's interesting is that Yeshua HaMoshiach, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings Christ, Jesus Christos, in the New Covenant, when he's speaking the parables, the allegories, the proverbs, he speaks more about themes that link with what we can call money than anything else, all right? And he uses these agricultural terminologies. But then many of us, you know, are maybe city folks or city babes. We're born in the cities, you know, concrete jungle. We may have a few trees, you know, around, but none of the trees got any fruit on it. Now we read in books and we hear about, oh, fruit grows off of trees, but we don't really get to see this. We don't have this intimacy with this as those before and previous generations, like I people, you know, the Geechee Gullah people from the South, or even I people further south, Louisiana, New Orleans, or I peoples from the Caribbean and other places. You know what I'm saying? They're close to the ground, close to the reality. So when they are reading the scripture and properly understanding it, they can really get the essence of the wisdom. The thing I noticed is I was reading about things in the scripts and the Bible, living in the city. I'm saying, a sheep. I don't know nothing about no sheep. You know, I see sheep in the cartoon and stuff like that. And see, that's what we're thrown off. I'm pointing that out so we can reorientate ourselves. So someone must farm the wheat. Someone must harvest it. Someone must then grind up what is harvested into flour. Someone must bake the flour into bread, right? And also someone must transport it from the field over here, over there. You know what I mean? Here in this process, we see cooperation. True. One person can do a lot by themselves. I'm not doubting that, because someone said they can do a lot. Yes. you know, but it's not sustainable, right? It's not sustainable very long because the flesh is, right, weak, but the spirit is willing. You know what I mean? It takes cooperation to do it properly, right? So here we see cooperation among at least, even what we said, farming, grinding, and baking. We see cooperation at least three separate disciplines. Oh, you didn't know it's a discipline to farm? It is, all right? It's a discipline to grind the wheat into flour properly. It is. It's a discipline also to bake the flour into bread. So these are three separate disciplines and usually at least three separate people. Now, in modern times, right, in the times of the Gentiles, modern times, it also requires, right, agricultural workers and industry to build the farm equipment. There's equipment that one must use. Of course, you can use your hand and you can do some makeshift. Of course, you can do that if you're farming for yourself and your family. We're talking about community here, right, because a covenant is not just so much with one in the fuller sense. Even with one, it is for many. Out of many, right? We are one, but really here, out of one, we become many. So in modern times, it also requires agricultural workers and industry to build the farm equipment. We need trucks, transportation vehicle, maybe truckers to haul the bread, and vendors to market it. See, because somebody else has taken care of all of that, we can just get some money, you know, and go to the store and just buy the thing. But the question is, how long? How long? And suppose the trucks don't come in to the cities. What happens then? What are we going to do, break up the concrete now? We're going out backyards now? Right? Of course, that's subsistence for a time, but how long would that last? But all of these people cooperate. That if there's no cooperation, there's no nothing. Your money, you could eat your money, eat the coins, dollars and cents, right? Of course, if you do, well, all of these people must cooperate. And what is the result? The result is the delicious, crusty, warm loaf of bread or whatever. You know, there's many kinds of different bread you can make with that one kind of flour. Right? So we get the variety even from the bakers. The bakers can take that one type of flour and make all different kind of warm, tasty, delicious things. Now, think about it. It all began from where? It all began from the ground, the foundation. It all began from the earth. The earth is Jehovah's and all of her fullness. Right? Now, prior to bread, right, prior to bread, based on the biblical, the scriptural narrative, no doubt, whenever Adam or Hawa felt hungry, what they did? They went to the store. And they had to say, how much money you got to buy? No, they just simply just reached up the nearest, you know, whatever fruit it was, plum or apple, or they ate whatever was on hand or whatever was handy. But from here on out, after the eviction, coming down to our so-called reality, they would have to plan in advance in order to make bread. This is also another highlight key point here. Planning in advance. See, now we don't have to plan in advance, really, because we already know if I go to the store, there's going to be some bread there, or at least we think so, and it's been that way, but have you gone to the stores lately? Right? You have to plan in advance. When one is hungry for bread, right, in the real world, right, when one is hungry for bread, that's not the time to start planning to plant wheat for flour. See, the time to plant wheat for flour has to be planned before you feel a hunger for bread. That must be done in advance. And here's another key thing. Making bread requires faith. Now, I hear folks talk about religion and religious, and I'm really tired of that talk. I understand why, you know what I mean? Because ones are linguistically challenged. You're going from the language of the down presser, right? So it's confusion. It's Babylon, right? But in the true sense of faith, in the true sense of admitting as true, the true sense of confidence, right, one must have faith in order to even make bread. Something so simple. A farmer. I think the farmers and people who do agriculture, they really express a lot of faith, right? One may say faith in nature, faith in them, their own ability, but it still requires faith. I'm not talking about a religious ceremony and doing this and that in a ceremonious way. No. If you put a seed in the ground today, you know you put it there. But then tomorrow, if you lack faith, you might start to doubt, did I really put a seed in the ground? Is that seed really still there? I don't see nothing right here. And then you might start to fiddle with the earth. Once you do that, you're stopping that germination process. So even making bread requires faith, requires credo, credit. The word credit is actually faith. Take note, disciples. Take note, brothers and sisters. Faith equals credit. The word credit is actually faith. And I use this here instead of the be lie, Eve, because when people say the lie in the middle of it, they get stuck on that and it gets kind of stupid in a sense because they never get beyond that and never recognize, well, I'm sure they didn't have the word be lie, Eve in the Hebrew or the Amharic. So what does that say and what does it mean? Making bread requires faith, admitting as true, admitting that what I'm doing here is going to reap a result. Because if you don't admit as true that what you're doing is going to have any purpose, you're not going to do it. Maybe that's why people are not doing a lot of things, because they don't really have faith that it's going to even work out. But making bread requires faith. When you put wheat seeds, you put the seeds of the wheat, for example, in the ground, you have to have faith. You have to admit as true that crops will grow. If you doubt it too much, they say that when you have plants or flowers, it said, this is, I've seen at least some scientific kind of results of this, and it appears so, though I didn't really witness it firsthand, but I saw it on video where they talk about, well, if you have like flowers and you say positive, good things, loving things to the flowers, they grow better. If you say bad things, hurtful things, harmful, like talking bad things, then the crops are affected. That even shows how nature, right, responds, right, to the human being. And one brother, right, even, you know, reminded me, right, that man shares a lot of his DNA with the plants. How interesting. So making bread requires faith that when you put wheat seeds in the ground, that the crop will grow. Maybe this is why there's only a few ones, you know, who are really taking up farming seriously. Because they have a lot of faith. You know, the farmers, think about it, those who work the ground to produce the food, right? We just go to the market and buy it, or we just go to the store and get it, but somebody else has to go through that walk. Flour must be made into dough. Flour doesn't just make itself into dough. You put flour there and put some water there, it's not going to evolve into dough. Somebody has to work it into dough, and somebody has to understand the discipline necessary to make it into dough. I don't know if some of y'all have ever tried that. I actually learned how to do that, and it's very interesting, you know, to make gluten and, you know, like certain, you know, they call it like wheat meat. They call it wheat meat in that sense, right? It's the same process, actually, of making bread, of making wheat meat, in a sense, making, you know, that kind of gluten-like substance. But anyway, flour, right, or they call it, some call it seitan. Flour must be made into dough. That must be then baked. Cooperation, here's the key. Another key words here. Cooperation and time are needed. So here in the season of counting seven Shabbats complete, right, that patience, that time, and we're reminded that in the first instance of the land, agriculturally, right, it is counting the crop as it has grown. So this is actually just counting and watching the growth till it's all fully harvested, right, in the Pentecost time or in the harvest, the Feast of Weeks time. Cooperation and time are needed to create anything of true human value. And thus, brothers and sisters, that is the lesson. That's the lesson of bread, and it's an absolutely important lesson. Even if we still are in the cities and we have a return to the ground of reality, it will prepare our hearts and minds. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, brothers and sisters, going to ride up right here with more today's daily psalm as well. Just want to share that lesson of bread. And Damian Marley, one loaf, but on Shavuot we present two loaf. But how amazing is Moshiach? How amazing is the King of Kings Christ?
Christ feed the multitude, the only one loaf of bread. Poor people, there is something for you. Don't let the pressures of the system get upon your head. Poor people, there is something for you. Mankind care not for his sisters anymore. Still there is something for you. Written in the book of life, we shall live forevermore. There will be something for Rasta works a manifest and it's a blossom and a bloom. Nature always run its course, the tide is rising with the moon. It only takes a spark to put a fire to the fume. What is hidden in the dark shall be revealed so very soon. Tell Pharaoh free the prisoners from the dungeons and the doom. Tell the youth to not to dread and Babylon, put them in a platoon. The trials and the perils deeper down the blue lagoon. Them I want for know them mystery and I'm sister them a moon. Christ fed the multitude with only one loaf of bread. Poor people, there is something for you. Don't let the pressures of the system get up on your head. Poor people, there is something for you. Mankind care not for his sisters anymore. Still there is something for you. Each and every time you see we forward up a door, there will be something for you. I gave Moses 10 commandments upon 2 tablets of stone. Led Israel out of Egypt and then promised them a home. Samson slew the Philistines with a donkey jawbone. And David slew Goliath with a two-wheel crown. Blessed be the man where walketh not in a the war zone. Blessed be the man where hear not in a peon ground. Blessed be the herbs that keep we eye on a peon stone. Fire for your man where sit down in a Babylon drown. Killless woman go a dance and left the picnic them alone. Cannot take care of yourself, diggity and ready in a room. Population under pressure, still them have more money clown. And all the wasted love that has been lost has now been found. Christ fed the multitude with only one loaf of bread. Poor people, there is something for you. Don't let the pressures of the system get upon your head. Poor people, there is something for you. Mankind care not for his sisters anymore. Still there is something for you. Written in the book of life, we shall live forevermore. Still there is something. Christ be the multitude, the only one loaf of bread. Christ be the multitude, the only one loaf. Christ be the multitude, the only one loaf. Christ be the multitude.
Christos, HaMoshiach, the anointed, the bringer of bread. Christ, the bringer of bread, according to the Gospel of Philip. Before the anointed, Christos, HaMoshiach, came, there was no bread in the world, just as the Gan Eden, as paradise where Adam was, had many trees for the food of the animals, but did not have wheat for the food of human beings. And human beings were nourished like the animals. But when the anointed Christos HaMoshiach, the perfect human being came, he brought bread from heaven, from Shemayim, so that human beings might be fed with the food of the human being. Christ, the bringer of bread.
I shall never fret.
Them mostly things that them can't stop me from sin.
Cause I saw the light, no more darkness.
bless that put me in the life. Yeah.
One man me fear me a the Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire. All when me no no food no water. The love me never yet scatter. Me a thought it's real and the pain me a feel. Them a kill with some vendetta. So we basket no empty. Enough time them try to tempt me. Must it fool me a lead by far and them see. Them team up and a sign and a tie stop me time from. Me make me empty. But a one man me fear of the father. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire. All when me no no food no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought it's real of the pain me a feel. Them a kill with.
Say what you want, say what you feel. Me no best friend, so we coulda never deal. Real, when me try stop the meal. Seems like you a send me to the back of field. Press what you want, press, and you a steal. Run what you want, run, and you a wheel. Then straight up, then I coulda what you feel. Man a soldier, so me coulda never kneel.
One man me fear, ready Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the back of field, without no steal. All when set a fire.
Second degree of the sabbatical studies. Here we have Bihar, Bihar, like Harar, like where Josh Lagora, Ethiopia, Harar, the Afro-Semitic linguistics. Har is mountain, Harar is mountainous, Harar, Ethiopia, mountainous. We have Har. Here we have Bihar, Bihar on the mountain right here. So let's go through the first and the second aliyot right here. Liku batalawa. Tinishkin to lick no small, but very important.
Sabbatical study. This Ainai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. 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 Shabbat strong.
Here. Bihar. On the mountain.
Shabbat Shalom, Senbet Salam. Shabbat Bihar Shalom, Senbet Tara Salam. Here picking on. Shabbat Shalom, Senbet Salam. Shabbat Bihar Shalom. Senbet Tara Salam. Here picking up with the 32nd degree of Ainai Haras, the Far Sabbatical Study, and for this Shabbat strong, this Shabbat Bihar. Shabbat Bihar on the mount, in the mount. Picking up here with Leviticus chapter 25 to chapter 26, verse 2, for this next to last Torah portion reading and feeding here in the third book of Moses, the Hebrew book known as Leviticus. Here for the Lamed Beit Torah portion, this manna, this angel's bread, the 32nd, we pick up with the Kaf Hei chapter 25. The law of the land, the first item is the sabbatic year. And here, give ear, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Ahad. Hear, O Israel. He who be, we be, Aina Elohim. He who be, we be, is the one. So here, picking up B'shem Ha'av V'Habein V'Ruach HaKadosh Yahweh Echad. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Picking up with the first Aliyah for this Shabbat, Shabbat Behar. Why daber Yahweh El Moshe Behar Sinai Lemor. And Yahweh Jehovah spake to Moses, Moshe, in Mount Sinai, saying, Why daber Yahweh El Moshe Behar Sinai Lemor. Speak, daber, speak, daber, speak to the children, the sons of Yisrael. Daber illa b'nei Yisrael, and say to them, with amarta elehem, when y'all come into the land, when y'all enter into the land which I give you, which I am giving to you, ki tabo'u illa ha'aret asherani noten lakem, then and then shall the land keep a Sabbath to Jehovah. With Shabbata Ha'aret Shabbata Layawa Yawa 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 Yawa. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest to the land, a Sabbath la Yahweh to Jehovah. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed. For it is a year of rest to the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat, shall be food for you, for thee, I, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, I, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat, be food. The law, HaTorah, the direction, instruction of the land. Second item, the year of Yoel, the year of Jubileu, the year of Jubilee. Verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years to thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to thee, 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Yovel of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, Yom HaKippurim. Shall ye all make the trumpet, the shofar, sound throughout all your land. And ye all shall hallow, set apart, the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Yovel, a Jubileu, a Jubilee to you. And ye all shall return every man to his possession, and ye all shall return every man to his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be to you. Ye all shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Yovel, the Jubilee, Jubileu. It shall be wholly set apart to you. Ye all shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Yovel, this Jubilee, ye all shall return every man to his possession. And here for this Shabbat Behar Sabbath on in the Mount, here at the 14th verse, we have the second Aliyah, the Sheni Aliyah, here at verse 14. With Kia Timakaru Mi Makara La Emiteka, or Kano miyada emiteka, ala tonu ish et achio, and if thou sell aught to thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, he shall not oppress, rephrase, shall not downpress one and other, according to the number of years after the yovel, the jubileu, the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according to the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell to thee. Aye. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell to thee. Aye. Ye all shall not therefore downpress one another, but thou shalt fear, shall reverence, respect Eloheka, the I Elohim, ki ani Yahuwah Elohekem, for I be he who be who he be, thy Elohim. Wherefore ye all shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and ye all shall dwell in the land in safety, 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 safety. Shem Ha'av V'Habein Ruach HaKadosh. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Glory be. Glory be. We're going to ride up here for this sabbatical study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong, 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 Shabbat strong,
Behar in the mount, and Mount Sinai, Mount Sinai. So here, very interesting, it's bringing out the Jubilees. So here, like to bring into the studies the Ethiopic Book of Jubilees here, it kind of lays out the pattern, so we can understand why the Book of Jubilees in the Ethiopic is known as Metzafe Kufale, Kufale, Kufale. A kufal is almost like a parasha, right? It's almost like portions in a sense. So here we get the Jubilee in this Jubilee year. So here, according to the Torah right here, it says, and thou shalt number, so the numbering, the counting, the numbering, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years. That's the principle right there in Leviticus chapter 25 and 8. The principle of the Ethiopic and the Book of Jubilees is based on this principle here, the 7 Sabbaths of years. So we're 7 Sabbaths of years. So when we talk about weeks, there's a twofold, right, the two truths of weeks. There's like the 7 days, the Shabbat at the seventh, you know, the seventh day, and the whole set from 1 to 7, that Sabbath set of the Shavuah of the 7 days. And then we have the Sabbath of years, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years to thee. 7 times 7, here, the principle, Rastafari, the 2 sevens clash, and there shall be to thee the days of the 7 Sabbaths of years, even 49 years. So here, according to the principles of we could say like the sacred geometry, it's called in like the sacred geometry principle, the fractal and the fractal. So we have the 7 weeks here in the season of the counting of the Omer, right? 7 times 7. Right, 49 plus 1, so 50 days, right, 50 days. And then we also have the principle of the Yobeliu, right, the Jubilee of years. So to understand the particular numbering, you know, like when it talks about the Jubilees, it's talking about time periods of the patriarchs, the different Jubilees of the patriarchs. So when it talks about weeks there, it's not looking at it in the sense of like 7 days, but talking about the 7 years and the 7 times 7 and 49 years. So first we start out with a small measure, and now we get into larger measure, right? So like the wheel in the wheel, the pattern in the pattern. Just to point that there, and also bring in the book of Yobeliu, Jubilees. A jubilee shall be the 50th year. A jubilee shall be the 50th year. Now, there's a statement that's repeated from the previous verse in the first part of the reading here for the first 2 days, the Aliyah day. So here at the second day of the Shavua, second day of the week, for Monday, the second day. So we went through two of them. So just going over some highlights here. In verse 11, Leviticus 25:11, a jubilee shall be the 50th year be. The statement is repeated from the previous verse to make it clear. So when we get even a repeat, for real, you know, the statement is repeated, right, to make it clear that although the jubilee was proclaimed on the 10th of the 7th month, the special year began on the 1st of that month and finished with the end of the 50th year and did not continue until the day of the atonement. Now the fields, the natural agricultural fields, must not be sown that year. The land, it rests. So now in some places they have a principle of rotation of the crops, right, in order to preserve the land. Now here the Hebrew principle is the jubilee year where the land can enjoy her jubilees. Something very interesting in the prophetic word of the scripture, the glory of his majesty, when it's speaking about, well, for what reason did the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, why did they go into captivity? Ones will say, well, could they break the law, statutes, and commandments? And yes, they did, and we, our ancestors, patriarchs, did. But as you read further in the prophets, it speaks about the key and concern that the source, the creator, had for the land, for her, and how the land, she, did not get to enjoy the jubilees because the Bnei Yisrael were not fulfilling their covenantal responsibilities to let the land rest, for example. So the resting of the land, right, that rest for the land. And then over here, there was one other point I heard, and just going through just a couple of highlights right here. In Leviticus chapter 25, around about verse 14. Now, the KJV reads a little differently from this here, but we have the Hebrew just to compare. It says, and if thou sell aught to thy neighbor, anything to thy neighbor, or buy of thy neighbor's hand, ye all shall not wrong one another. Right? I think it said in the KJV, oppress. Now, in other areas, too, where it says oppress, the more better context of it is defraud. All right, so we might see that and say, well, oppress, okay, I would say downpress, yes. But the true context from the study, studying to shew ourselves approved, is not to defraud. And what's brought out right here is y'all shall not wrong one another, y'all shall not defraud one another. And the context of this is actually financial transactions. So HaTorah don't just speak to, like people say, spiritual things or religious rites and rituals, but it's also covering the nine areas of people activities, including financial transaction. The ancient scholars, they declare that wronging does not, some say, apply to the field, some of the ancient teachers of Torah. The price must be fixed on a calculation of the number of years before the next Yovelu, Jubilee. There is wronging or defrauding when less than an extra sixth of the value is obtained. But in the case of movable property, so it's different whether the property is movable or unmovable. And what's interesting, if you study law today in the fine tuning of things has a lot of these, we could say, Hebrew precepts that came out from what they call common law. But the point is about the oppression. Oppression is not just like, you know, like, I don't know how people might imagine it, but it's speaking of financial transactions. Just to note that right there. Here, brothers and sisters, we got like 15 minutes right here. And yes, this is the Monday podcast, the Rastafari Monday podcast. We began a little bit later at 10:30 here after the Shavua, coming to a new Shavua right here. So we have Psalm 62. I want to ride up on Psalm 62, Royal Amharic, first and foremost. So stay tuned. brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, and also to ones and ones in the blog talk, the live stream right there. One can go to the Rastafari Israelites, go to the Rastafari Israelites on the YouTube to hear the full of full, hopefully the full of full, and also ones and ones may download the MP3. You know what I mean? For further study or archiving. So here, here, here.
But many are calling, no? Many are called, but few are choosing. Many are called, but few are choosing. I was called, and I was choosing. It's funny, but it's true.
Call in, call in, call in to hear the full of full now, or hopefully catch it on the replay. 515-602-9761. One to hear the full of full now. Call in, call in, call in, call in, call 515-602-9761. Call in 515-602-9761. Call in 515-602-9761.
Angel Joy, calling. Here, Psalm 62, right here. Here, first ear, give ear. Yes, I.
Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work, 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 to his work.
Psalm 62, today's daily psalm according to the royal order, after the order of the Ethiopian Hebrews right here, Israelites of Ethiopia, we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 62, Nizmor Samek Beit, Psalm LXII. One of the themes of today's daily psalm, we're going to write up the royal hearts, so stand by, stay tuned. One of the themes is the one sure refuge. Now, we have a theme here, and even the phraseologies here are familiar from a study of other psalms as we study to grow in grace and the knowledge. Circumstances of stress and distress are described in that the poet turns to Hailahim, to Elohim, as we have in the first, what they call the proper verse, which is the second verse in the Hebrew. But, you know, you'll see in the KJV where it says, only for God doth my soul wait. Now, here we have the Hebrew and bringing out the sense of only for Elohim does my soul that she wait in stillness. From him cometh my salvation. Ak il Elohim dumiya nafshi mimenu yeshuati mimenu. From him yeshuati kamai yeshua kamai salvation, my victory. So here we have the one sure refuge. There are circumstances of distress, stress and distress that are described in that the poet turns to Elohim, to the source, the power, as the only safe haven from the storm raging round about him and I. Now, there's no specific details in the Mizmor, the psalm, the chant here, that points to a definite or definitive period. But there is a revolt of Absalom that makes an appropriate setting for today's daily psalm. Now, we have a superscription, which is interesting here, according to the royal order. If you check the Davidic worship, you'll see that even the previous Shavuot, the previous week, we had Psalm 39. And Psalm 39 is seen for Jeduthan. Now, for the fellows, I would recommend checking out the name in the plain English spelling for Metaphysical Bible Dictionary to understand the five cycle and the metaphysical. Now, simply put, Jeduthan, right, in the heading of Psalm 39, which was a few days ago, is also the heading of Psalm 62, today's daily psalm, as well as Psalm 87. We have Psalm 87. Chant 87. Im Kush Ze Yulad Sham. With Kush, with Ethiopia. This was born there. So Jeduthun, who is Jeduthun? Well, Jeduthun, he's mentioned right several times in the book of Chronicles. In the book of Chronicles, he's mentioned as the director, we could say from the Hebrew, the Menatseah. In the King of Kings Bible, known as the Mesmeran Aleka, the Aleka, the director, the chief of the chanters, the leader, the musical director of the temple choir. Now, the title, some bring out the title where it says, for the leader, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Now, there's a little note right here. It is David, King David, that actually set the order, right, of the temple, or we can say that led to the temple choir, right, the proper order, you know, for the Levites, which is very, very interesting, right? So here we have in Psalm 39, the previous psalm with this particular superscription, and today's daily psalm, and these psalms to note how closely they come according to the Israelites of Ethiopia and I Psalm Davidic worship, the royal order of daily psalms. Now, the title is brought out for the leader, Jeduthun, for the musical director, for the Menatseah, the leader, the overcomer, Jeduthun, for the Mesmeran Aleka, the leader of the chanters, or for the leader, right, like to the DJ, to my selector, right, to be sung in the style, also in the style of Jeduthun, in the style of Jeduthun. So here, today's daily psalm, there's some Hebrew highlights, especially that first verse is just so very important. In today's daily psalm, we're going to write with the Hebrew. We've got like two minutes right here. But we're going to write up with the Hebrew after we first going to address the Amharic. But to get a context here, in the opening first four or so verses, the only salvation, the only Yeshua, the only victory, the only overcoming salvation, we have in the opening verse from the Hebrew, Ak. Now, Ak, it's important to distinguish Hebrew because some say, you know, some of our brothers and sisters, well, we all grow in grace and maybe we just continue to grow, right? There's Ak. Ak is not the same in the Hebrew as Ach. Ach. When I say brother, Ach. 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 To say Ak, to say brother, there's actually only. There's the word in Hebrew only. Say only, like what it says, only for Elohim. Ak, il Elohim. Only four, only two Elohim. Ak il Elohim. Ak il Elohim. Two Elohim to the power. Ak. So Ak, Hebrew, is distinctive. Ak is a distinctive Hebrew word in this psalm. Ak. Now, it's not Ak to say brother, as some Hebrews and Israelites not developing that sound that the white man took away from us because we speak in his language. The Ak. 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 Right? Ak is brother. Ak is only, only, like for sure. It has a sense of for sure, only, only. And this word right here is used in today's chant in Hebrew about six times, and it strikes a key note to Elohim, Hailahim alone, all one, and to nobody, to no one else. He turns in his hour of need. So here's the royal Amharic coming forward, forward, forward. Today's daily psalm and the Amharic is theme hope only. Hope only. Expectation only. Ak. El Elohim Dumiya Nafshi Mimeno Yeshuati in the Royal Amharic. Hope only, expect only, bringing out the real operative level of hope, right? Hope, when we say hope, the real meaning is that what you expect, expect only in Exiavia, expecting the Father, the Excellent.
Some people still searching for this truth here. which this reggae music, you know, bring across to them. And the only purpose it serves is to tell the people about Rastafari.
So here the Royal Amharic right here. We have Abraham Chabuda Rita here reading from the King of Kings Bible. Here on the Faithful Rhythm, Heal Up Cash Flow. Ao, ao.
Cash Flow Production.
مزمور 61 بكنف 62 لمزمران على قاس لإيروتام يداويت مزمور نفسي لك جابير يمتقز بايدا لك من مدهاني تيك هرسو زندناتنا هرسو عملاكي مدهاني تيمنونا هرسو متقعينو اججم مالتطور اسكمتي بسولاي تقوم على اللاتشو እናንተ ሁላችሁ እንዳዘነበለ ግድግዳ እንደፈረሰም ቅጥር ትገድላላችሁ ነገር ግን ክብሬን ይሽሩ ዘንድ መከሩ ሐሰትንም ይወዳሉ ባፋቸው ይባርካሉ በልባቸውም ይረግማሉ ነገር ግን ነፍሴ ሆይ አንቺ ለእግዚአብሔር ተገዢ ተስፋዬ ከርሱ ዘንድ ናትና እርሱ አምላኬ መድኃኒቴም ነውና እርሱ መጠጊያዬ ነው አልታወክም መድኃኒቴና ክብሬ በእግዚአብሔር ነው የረድኤቴ አምላክ ተስፋዬም እግዚአብሔር ነው የሕዝብ ማህበር ሁላችሁ በርሱ ታመኑ ልባችሁንም በፊቱ አፍስሱ እግዚአብሔር ረዳታችን ነው ነገር ግን የሰው ልጆች ፈንቱ ናቸው የሰው ልጆችም ሐሰተኞች ናቸው በሚዛንም ይበድላሉ እነርሱስ በፍጹም ከንቱ ናቸው አመጣን ተስፋ አታድርጉ ቀሚያንም አትተማመኑት ባለጠግነት ቢበዛ ልባችሁ አይፍራ እግዚአብሔር አንድ ጊዜ ተናገረ እኔም ይህን ብቻ ሰማ ኃይል እግዚአብሔር ነው አቤቱ ምሕረትም ያንተ ነው አንተ ለእያንዳንዱ እንደ ሥራው ፍዳውን ትሰጣለህና
Radio here, let's ride up the turtle.
Only upon and in the sustaining of the good, the generous Ab Father, is there hope, is there expectation. Tesfa, the Egaziavi Harlai Bicha. This psalm, today's daily psalm, is also themed. The one sure refuge, the one sure refuge, and Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, Ekziyavihar alone, all one, a refuge from treachery and oppression, rephrase, downpression. Elohim, the true good, Ha Elohim, Ekziyavihar alone, all one, a refuge. Salam to Anayah in today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here, after the order of Melchizedek, Tzedek. We have Mezmore Dawit, Psalm of David, Silasahulet, Mezmor Silsa Hulet, Psalm 62. Esim Tesla the Exiaviar Lai Bitcha. Only in the sustainer is their hope, their expectation. Tesva the Exiaviar Lai Bitcha. Only upon and in the sustainer, the good, the generous Ab Father, is their hope, is their expectation. Tesva. Tesva the Exiaviar Lai Bitcha. This psalm, today's daily psalm, is also themed the one sure refuge. The one sure refuge and Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, Salam to Enayas Tillin. Today's daily psalm, Salam to Enayas Tillin. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here, after the order of Melchizedek, Tzedek. Salam to Enayas Tillin. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here, after the order of Melchizedek, Tzedek. We have Mezmore Dawit, Psalm of David, Silsa Hulet. Mezmor Silsa Hulet, Psalm 62. Esim Tesva Ve'egziyavir Lai Bitcha. Only in the sustainer is their hope, their expectation. Tesva Ve'egziyavir Lai Bitcha. Only upon and in the sustainer, the good, the generous Ab Father, is their hope, is their expectation. Tesva, Tesva Ve'egziyavir Lai Bitcha. This psalm, today's daily psalm, is also themed the one sure refuge. The one sure refuge and Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, Ekziyavihar alone, all one. A refuge from treachery and oppression, rephrase, downpression. Elohim, the true good, Ha Elohim, Ekziyavihar alone, all one. A refuge from treachery and downpression. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek. We have Mezmore Dawit, Silsa Hulet, Psalm of David, well-beloved, Psalm 62, Mezmor Silsa Hulet. Here as we compare and contrast from the Authorized, Revised, Amharic Bible, the Book of the Seven Seals, of Garmawi, Karmawi, Haile Selassie, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaShem, and the KJV, the King James Version. Here, the superscription to the chief musician, to Jedutun, a psalm of David to the chief musician, Le Mezamarana Leka, Sile Edotam, to Jedutun, Ye Dawit Mezmor, a psalm of David, Le Mezamarana Leka, Sile Edotam, Ye Dawit Mezmor. And we begin, Besama'ab, Wewelid, Wemenfesik Edus, Ahadu, Amlak, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The one source. In Jemralin, we begin, and Degna means again with the superscription, Mezmor Silsahulet, Le Mezemrana Leka, Sile Dotam, Ye Dawit Mezmor, Kuter And, verse 1. Nefse Le Exiavi Heriamit Gezai, De Lechemin, Medhanite Karsuzen Atena. Truly, my soul, my psyche, waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Truly, my soul, nefse, le ekziyavir, for the sustainer, for the good, the generous Ab, Father, waiteth, yemitageza, submitteth herself, aydelechemine, doesn't my soul, this is the question here in the world of Mahark, doesn't my soul, doesn't my psyche submit herself to the sustainer, to the true good, the true God, to sustainer, the good, the generous Av, the generous Father? So here we have a question here, and it's followed up by the response right here. Shall not to Elohim be submitted my soul? Shall not my soul, my psyche, be submitted to the sustainer? Nefse, le ekziyavi heriyamit geza, aydelet chemine. Medhanite ka'ar suzenatina, medhanite, my salvation, my savior, my deliverance, my medicine, medhanite ka'ar su, from he himself, arsu, ka'ar suzen, is through he himself, natina, for my salvation is through him himself. For she is of him himself. Shall not to Ekziyavihar be submitted, subordinate, subjected? Shall not my psyche subject herself to the sustainer? is by him for my deliverance. From him, my salvation. Mechanite ka'ar suzen natina uter hulet. Verse 2. Arsu amlake mechanitemno. Arsu metegiayeno. Ijgim al tawakim. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I shall not be greatly moved. For he is my source. Arsu amlake medhanite medhanite and my salvation medhanite nawinna. For he himself is my source. My source. The Hebrew brings out rock within the Hebraic. My word pick, my rock. My rock is my God. My El is my rock. Tzuri. Akahu Tzuri. He is Tzuri in the Hebrew. Here this is brought out in the HSV, also in the LXX. Arsu amlake medhanitim nauna. For he is my source and my salvation, my saving, my victory. Arsu metagiayin. He is my defense, my refuge, my defense, my close place. Arsu metagiayin. Ijgim al tawakim. Ijgim. Very much. Ijig. Very much. Ijgim. And very much al tawakim. Al tawakim. In no way, very much, I should not be shaken. I should not be shaken very much. I should not be shaken by the many. Kutel source, verse 3. Iskameche, besolai tikomalachu, hinante hulachu, inna zennebele girgida, inda farasema kitara tigedalachu. How long will y'all imagine mischief against a man? Iskameche. Until when, to bring out the sense of how long, iskameche, besolai tikomalachu, besolai against a man tikomalachu, will y'all stand up, will y'all rise up, how long will y'all rise up against a man, enante, all of y'all, enante hulachu, inda zenebele gidgida. Y'all shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall y'all be, and as a tottering fence. In the faresem together lalachu. Y'all will be slain. How long shall you imagine evil against a man that you may murder him? All of you, inante hulachu, inda zenebele gidgida, like a leaning wall. In the farasama kitara tigadalalachu, like a tottering fence. For how long do you rise up against a man? You, y'all, slaughter all as a wall leaning and a fence thrusting through. In the farasam kitara, as a demolishing fence, as a fence that's demolishing. Tigedlalachu, all y'all be slain. Kuter arat, negergin, kabrena yishruzena mekaru, hasetinema yweddalu, bafacho yibarkalu, belabacho wim yiregmalu. They only consult to cast down from his excellency. Here in the Royal Amharic, the HSV. Here in the HSV, it brings out the sense of, but my honor, they consult to thrust away, negergin, however, on the other hand, negergin, kabrein, my honor, my glory, kabrein, yishru zen mekaru, but my honor, they consult to thrust away, hasetanim yuweddedalu, they love lies, they delight in lies, they love lies, hasetanim yuweddedalu, bafacho yubarkalu, but they bless with their mouth, bafacho with their mouth, yubarkalu, they bless with their mouth, belabachowim, and in their heart, yiregmalu, but they curse inwardly. With their mouth blessing, they bless with their mouth. But in their heart, they cursed. Selah, pause. Uter Amis, verse 5. Negergin, Nessehoi, Anchi le Egiziavi Hertegeji, Tesfaye Kaersuzenatina. My soul, my psyche, Nessehoi, oh my soul, oh my psyche, oh my soul, Anchi, she, Anchi, speaking to she, you, speaking to her, the soul. For the soul without instruction is headed to self-destruction. Negergin. However, on the other hand, Nefsehoi, oh my soul, oh my psyche, Anchi, you, Le'egziari Tegeji, you, female, you, feminine, Anchi, Le'egziari Her Tegeji, submit to Egziari Her, the good, the generous Av, the open-handed father, oh my soul. Oh, my psyche, tesfayi, karsuzena tina, tesfayi, my hope, my expectation, my endurance, tesfayi, karsu, arsu, with him, arsu, karsuzen, through him, natina, for she is, for my hope, my expectation, my endurance is through him. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. KJV reads here, kutar sidist, verse 6. Arsu amlake methanitem nona. Arsu metegiayen al tawakim. He only is Sori, my rock. He only. Arsu amlake, my source and my salvation. Methanitem nona. For he is my source and my salvation. Arsu he metagiayeno. He is my defense. He is my close place, like my refuge. Metagiaye, like a refuge city. Arsu metagiayeno. Al tawakim. I shall not be moved. Note this right here. Here before he said Ijgim al tawakim. I shall not be greatly moved. Here with a repeat of the refrain, the azmat, like the chorus of today's daily psalm, he says, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Planted firmly as a tree by the ever living waters. He says, Al tawakim. And I say, Al tawakim. I shall not be moved. Now that a trial of I and I face, I and I admittance in the objective reality has come upon I and I self-confidence, the confidence in the victory of good over evil here is growing stronger and stronger. In the words, Al Tawakim, I shall not be moved. Kuter Sabat, verse 7. Medhanite na kvreb egziavi herno. Yeredete amlak tesfayim egziavi herno. In Ekeziavi, the sustainer of the good, generous, open-handed, our Father is my salvation, my victory, my salvation, and my glory. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in Ekeziavi, the sustainer of the good, the generous, our Father. Medhanite na, my salvation, my medicine. Medhanite na, and kubre, my glory, kubre, my honor, Ekeziavi, is in the sustainer. Yeredete amlak, the source of my help. Redete, yeredete amlak. Tesfayi, my hope, my expectation. Egeziavi herno, is the sustainer of the good, the generous, the open-handed, our Father. Kuter cement, verse 8. Yehiz machiber hulachu, ve'ersu tamenu, lebachuhunema befitu afsisu. Egeziavi herredatachinu. Trust in him at all times. Admit as true. Yea, and amen in him at all times, at all I was, y'all people. Yehiz machiver hulachu. Yehizb. In the Amharic is people. Hizb. Yehizb of the people. Machiver, the congregation, aggregation, the church of the people. Hulachu. Yehizb machiver hulachu. Ja people. Yehizb machiver hulachu. Be'ersu tamenu. Be'ersu, in ersu, in he, himself. Tamenu. Amen. Tamenu, y'all. Admit as true. Trust. Credit. In him, himself, lebachuhunim befitu afsusu. Pour out afsusu lebachuhunim, your heart, heartically lebachuhunim befitu, in his presence, in his perception, in his face, lebachuhunim befitu afsusu. Egziavir, Redatachino, the sustainer, the good, the excellent Ab Father, Redatachino, Redatachin, is I and I help? Is I and I help? Trust in him at all hours, your people. Congregation, aggregation of the people, pour out your heart heartily before him. Exyavihir is a refuge, is a help for I, and we, Selah, pause. Uter Zeteng, verse 9. Negargin, Yesole Joch Kantu Nacho. Yesole Jochema Hasetenyoch Nacho. The Mia Zanema Yibedlalu. And our Zusa Befitsum Kantu Nacho. Surely, for show, men of low degree, vanity, and men of high degree are a lie to be laid in the balance. They are all together like vanity. Negergin, however, on the other hand, Yesole Joch Kentu Nacho, the children of humanity, Yesole Joch Kentu Nacho. Kentu is vanity, is vain. Yesole Jochim and the children of humanity, Hasetenyoch, are liars. Hasetenyoch Nacho. They are liars. Hasetenyoch Nacho. Bemia Zanema Yibedlalu. Upon the scale, Bemizan, the Mizan, Bemizanim, and upon the scale, Yibedlalu. They're wrong. They're wrong on the scale, Yibedlalu. They hurt. They do wrong. And Arsusa Befitsuma Kentu Nacho, and they, Befitsum, completely. Perfectly, kentu, vain, nacho, veyag, uter, asir, verse 10. Ametana tesvata drugu. Kimianim ate tamamenut. Kimianim ate tamamenut. Kimianim ate tamamenut. Valet egneta bibeza lebachu aikura. Trust not in oppression, rephrase, down oppression. Ametan, ametan, atesa atadirgu, atadirgu. Don't expect nothing good from rebelliousness. Ametan, from lawlessness. Ametan, atesa atadirgu. Kimianim atetamamenut, kimianim atetamamenut. And become not vain in robbery. In robbery, don't y'all like be trusting like one another. You know, there's no, this is like to bring out the sense, there's no honor among thieves. Kimianim atetamamenut, balat egneta bibeza, balat egnet. If riches, balat egnet, bibeza, if it increases, bibeza, balat egneta bibeza, and lebachu, aikura, lebachu, your heart. Heartically speaking, your heart, aikura. Don't be proud. Don't make your heart proud. Set not your heart in pride. Don't set, because you'll be upsetting. You'll be setting up your heart. Don't set up your heart if your wealth, if your riches, balat egenet to be beza, lebachu aikura. Verse 11. Egziavihar, sustain of the good, generous Ab, have spoken once. Egziavihar, angize tenagere. Egziavihar, the sustainer, angize, one time, angize, one time, tenagere, has spoken once. Iname, and I, and inne, ani, inne, I, and I, iname. Yihin bicha samau, this only I have heard. Yihin bicha samau. Chayil, ye, egziavihar, no. Twice have I heard this, that power, chayil, yeah, egziavihar, no, that chayil is of the sustainer, is of the good, the generous Ab Father, that power is of the sustainer. That power belongs to the sustainer. Uter asara hulet, verse 12. Avietu, mihiretim yante no, ante le yandandu in the sarau, fedawina tiset alehinna. Abetu, I father, his father, O father of the house. Mehiretim, mehiret, mercy. Mehiretim, and mercy. Mehiretim, yanteno. Ye ante, ye of ante. Yanteno is of the eye. Also to the eye, O Lord, abetu. Mehiretim, yanteno. Ante, the eye self. Ante, the eye male. Ante, for thou. Le yandandu in the sarawa fedawin tisat alehinna. For thou, the Ayanta, renderest to every man, Le Yandandu, to each one of them, Le Yandandu, in the Sarao, according to his work, Fidawin Tisatalehinna, renderest to every man according to his walk,
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 to his walk, to his walk,
to his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to
his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to his walk, to They accept Jahulah Iris rather than I and I physical being. I and I have come into Jah world as Jah eternal light, so that all who have Jahulah Iris will never exist in darkness. I and I have not come to judge Jah world. I and I have come to only save Jah world. Though there is a judge for them that do not accept I and I, Jah word that I and I utter shall serve as their judge on Jah last day. I and I can only utter Jah word of commandment, for it is Jah Most High who commands I and I on what to say and how to speak. I and I know that Jah commands our eternal life. Hence, that is what I and I speak. Jah, Haile Selassie, Nisanet, Nisanet, Nisanet.
So this is what kind of cause. I think because some people, you know, some Rasta man is more like, see, so this is what kind of cause. I think because some people, you know, some Rasta man is more like, some Rasta don't see the work, in a sense of, do the work. I personally believe that I must help and do the work. Some man believes that, well, all of you just left everything to God. No, I don't believe in like that today. I believe in God help those who help themselves. That means if something is going on, I must make a move to change it.
Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work, 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 to his work.
יעלילו תון מזמור לדוד אך אל אלוהים דומיה נפשי ממנו ישועתי אך הוא צורי וישועתי נשגב בי לא אמות רבה עד אנה תהוטטו על איש ורצחו כולכם כקיר נטוי הגדר הדחויה. אך משתו יעשו להדיח, ירצו חזב בפיו יברכו, ובקרבם יקללו סלע. אך לאלוהים דום מנפשי, כי ממנו תקוותי. אך הוא צורי וישועתי, משגבי לא אמות. על אלוהים ישעי וכבודי, צור עוזי מחסי באלוהים. ביטחו בו בכל עת עם, שפחו לפניו לבבכם, אלוהים מחסה לנו סלע. אך הבל בני אדם, כזב בני איש, במוזניים לעלות, המה והבל יחד. אל תפתחו בעושק, וגזל אל תהבלו, חיל תיינו, אל תשיתו לב. אחת דיבר אלוהים, שתיים זו שמעתי, כי עוז לאלוהים, ולך אדוני חסד, כי אתה תשלם לאיש כמעשהו.
We're here the Midrash study right here. We have part one and two right here, and one from the Midrash. And here there's a zoom in on the Hebrew letters Y and H, the Yod and the He, that we have in Yah, or anglicized as we have in Jah. So stay tuned. Here. Yes.
Here. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samek Beit. Samek Beit. Psalm 62, Mizmor Samek Beit. Samek Veit. Psalm LXII. La Al Yedutuna Mizmor Le Dawi. Ak El Elohim Dumiyah Nafshi. Mimenu Yeshuati. For the leader, for Jedutun, a psalm of David. Wait, my soul, only for Elohim, only for God, for Yah, for Jah, Ak El Elohim, Dumiyah Nafshi. Wait, my soul, only for Elohim, Ak El Elohim, Dumiyah Nafshi. Elsewhere, this is what Scripture says in Isaiah, Ishayahu, Isaias, Isaiah 26:4, wait y'all, upon the Lord forever. Bituchu b'Yahuwah ed'ad. Trust y'all, b'Yahuwah, in Chahov, and he who be, we be, b'Yahuwah, forever, ed'ad. Bituchu b'Yahuwah ed'ad. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, Know y'all, upon whom you wait? Know y'all, upon whom you wait? Upon Him who created two worlds, with the two letters of His name, with Y and H, with Yod and He, He formed worlds. This world, as well as the world to come, as well as the Olam Haba. And here, a little extra Midrash note here on Mizmor Samek Veit, Psalm 62. Opening words, La Menatziach Al Yedutun Mizmor Le Dawi. La Menatziach Al Yedutun Mizmor Le David, for the leader, for the chief musician, for the Menatriach, the overcomer, for Yedutun, for Jedutun, a psalm, Mizmor Le David, of David. Here in the Midrash translation, wait, my soul, only for God, for Yah. Here the translation from the Hebrew is wait, my soul, only for Elohim, for Yah, Dumiyah. Now the KJV, King James Version, here to the chief musician, to Jedutun, a psalm of David, truly my soul waiteth up on God. From him cometh my salvation. But the first part of the first verse in the KJV is the bait verse. Only for God doth my soul wait in stillness. Here in the Sefer Tehillim, in the Psalter, the Mezmure Dawit, the Hebrew Mezmure Dawit, the Psalter. Only for Elohim doth my soul, nafshi, she, wait in stillness. Now the JV, the Yehudi version, says, only for God doth my soul wait in stillness, as we have here in the Sefer Tehillim. KJV once again says, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. Ak il Elohim dumiyah nafshi. So the word, the key word is dumiyah. And that's the H1747 that, interestingly enough, from I study right here, we find four times, and this is not in the Midrash notes. We're going to share the Midrash note right here on today's Daily Psalm, Mizmor Samech Beit. However, we find four places in four other psalms that we have dumiyah, the H1747. In what four psalms? We have Psalm 22 and 2. We have Psalm 39 and 2. We have Psalm 62 and 1. And we have Psalm 65, verse 1. That's according to the KJV, so one verse over, no doubt, in the Hebrew manuscripts, in the Masoretic manuscripts. But here, Psalm 62 and 1, the first verse that combines both the two verses Hebraically, the superscription, the Laminat Seyach, and here the first verse, or the proper verse, the opening verse, only, ak, only. Ak has a sense of truly, for sure. Ak has a sense of truly, for sure, no doubt. Ak, il Elohim dumiyah nafshi. So apparently this comment here on the word dumiyah, dumi and ya, stillness. Stillness. This word is often brought out in translation as stillness. Here we have dumiyah, silence, still, repose, still waiting, right? It's a noun, feminine, dumiyah, right? Stillness, adverbially, silently. I think it's in the first psalm or so where it's translated as silent, silently, abstractly, quiet, trust, silence, silent, wait. So in the first verse that we have of the four verses in Hebrew where this word occurs as dumiyah, which may be translated as wait, right, for Yah, wait for Jah, wait for Yah, as we have here in the Midrash. Wait, my soul, only for Elohim, for Yah, the Yod and the He. These two Hebrew letters of the Hashem, the Yod, the Yud, the Yad, the Yod, and the He. So here, apparently, in this comment, the word dumiyah, stillness, is broken up into two words, and read as wait for Yah, interpretively, wait for Jah, wait for Yah, wait for Elohim, wait for God, and is also read, this is read in the special meaning to be developed in the passage here from the Midrash on the Sefer Tehillim in today's Daily Psalm, Mizmor Samech Beit, in the ancient pointing, Samech Beit, modern Hebrew, Samech Beit, the 62nd Psalm, Psalm LXII. Just for example, this word dumiyah, Psalm 22 and 2 says, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. So the word silent here. Now, it's interesting because we have the soul, we have the nefesh, we have she, we have this word dumiyah, right, the H1747, according to the Strong's Concordance, the Strong's word, H1747. Now, here in the script, we have Elohai ekra yomam, with lo ta'ineh, with laila, with lo dumiyah li, willo dumiya, dumiya, dumiya li. So here we have this somewhat cryptic dumiya. Is dumiya just silence in the feminine sense, or is it wait? Is it wait for Yah? Is it wait for Jah? Wait for he who be, Yah, meaning he who be, he who he becomes, he who is being. Oh my God, El Hai, I cry in the daytime, but thou, but the eye, hearest not. El Hai, Ekra, Yomam, we lo ta'inne, but thou hearest lo ta'inne, right? Ve lo ta'inne, ve lo ta'inne, we lo ta'inne means the eye does not anna, does not answer, ta'inne, the eye does not answer. Elohai, Ekra, Yomam, I call out to the eye by name. Elohai, Hailiyai, my true good, my true God, my power, my source. Elohai, Hailiyai, my Elohim. Elohai, Ekra, Yomam, Ekra, Aikara, Ekra, I call out, means to call out, right? To recite, but to call out by name. Elohai, Ekra, Yomam, Yomam, the Yom, Yom, a day, Yomam, days. So daily, daily I'm calling out to the eye, Wilota, isn't that? But the eye does not answer. With Laila and night, and at night, with lo dumiya li, and no dumiya, no waiting for Jah for me, no waiting for Yah for me, velo dumiya li, velo dumiya li, velo dumiya li, dumiya li, velo dumiya li, and no waiting for Jah for me. I have no rest. So some translators translate this part of the phrase right here as, but I have no rest. Willo dumiyali. Others in the KJV sense, and am not silent. But now it's important to note, or there is no silence to me. There is no silence to me. But if we look at the Hebrew, Hebraically, this is why this is a very important note here in the Midrash, in the study, right, in the seeking of he who be, who he be. Here we have willo dumiya, and no waiting, no silence for Yah, right, for me, for my soul, for nefesh, right, for nefesh, for my psyche, right, for my psyche, for my soul. Right? So here, that is the first place that we have of the four places. So it's not as though this is a common kind of word that we have many places, but it's exclusively in the Psalms. And we have Psalm 39 and 2. I was dumb with silence. So here, dumiya, bringing out the sense of silence. I was dumb waiting for Yah. I was dumb waiting for Yah. What does dumb mean? Right? Dumb. I was tongue-tied. I was without speech. Right, I was bound with the word. We have the word alam, alam. So here, going to the Hebrew right here, let's bring this out in the Hebrew. We have the verse in KJV. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. And my sorrow was stirred. Ne elamti, ne elamti, alam, alam, alam. I'm dumb. I don't speak. I'm bound in a sense, bound from speaking. Ne elamti, dumiya, he he sheti, mito. Uka avi ne ekar. I was mute with silence, or I being bound, waiting for Jah. Ne lamti dumiya he chesheti. I held my peace. He chesheti. He chesheti. Just breaking down these words here from chasha. Chasha is to be silent, to be quiet, to be still, to be inactive. Chasha actually. A primitive Hebrew root comes down to even the modern English to hush. Hasha, 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 to hush. Or keep quiet, to hold one's peace, so to speak. To keep silent, to be silent. So what we have here is two words in the same arefta neger, in the same sentence. Ne lamti adumiya, he chesheti mito. And I hushed mito, mito, from tawab, from good. Mito, and I hushed, he chesheti mito. Ukaeria ne ekar, from good, my sorrow, ua kaebi, ukaebi. So we have kaev, 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 kaeb. Kaeb is pain, usually mental or physical pain in the sense of sorrow. It's suffering in the physical physical or the mental. Adversity, grief, pain, sorrow from kaav, 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 kaav. Right? From kaav. Kaab, to be in pain, to be sore, right, to feel pain, by implication to grieve, to be spoiled, grieving, marred, pain, to make sad, so, sorrowful, sore. So we have that basic idea right there. So he says, ukaevi, ukaevi, ukaevi in modern Hebrew, or ukaevi, ne'ekar, 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 akar, akar, akar is to trouble, to stir up, right, to disturb. Right? Like when properly is in a sense when water, if you're boiling water and the water is rolling, royal, R-O-I-L, like the royal water, right? It's disturbed, like water is percolating, it's percolating like a kettle, right? Disturbed, afflicted, troubled, stir up. Ukaevi and my mental and physical pain, ukaevi ne'ekar, ukaevi ne'ekar, and my physical pain was stirred up, or as KJV says, and my sorrow was stirred. Was troubled, was boiling, it's like boiling, right? It's coming to the boiling point. Ne'ekar, ukaevi, ne'ekar. But the first part, ne'lamti, dumiya, he, chesheti mito, which the translator translates as, I was dumb, I was bound, waiting for Jah. I was bound, waiting for Jah. I held my peace, I hushed mito, I hushed from good, and my sorrow, right, my pain, my mental and psychological and physical pain was boiling up. It was coming to the boiling point. This is bringing out that Hebrew, right, sense, right, that Hebrew sense. I read one translation that says, I was stone silent. I held back the urge to speak. My frustration grew. In a sense, it does bring out one of the interpretive senses of the Hebrew, but it's always good to kind of get a look, right, take a look in the book for ourselves. So here would be the third place in the Mezmur Dawi, right, in the Mizmur, in the Psalms of David, the Psalms, the third place that we have it in today's Psalm, Mizmur Samek Beit, in Psalm 62. Ak el Elohim, dumiya nafshi, which can be translated either or as, truly my soul waiteth upon God, upon Elohim, or only for God doth my soul wait in stillness, or the more Hebraic sense of it, wait, my soul, only for Elohim, the true good, the true God, for Yah, for Jah, for he who be, he who becomes, he who is being. Ak il Elohim, dumiya nafshi. And finally, we have another psalm that's a companion in the theme of today's psalm. It's the 65th psalm. So we can go to the 65th psalm, to the first verse of the 65th psalm, to the chief musician, a psalm and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, waiteth, dumiya, waiteth for the eye, O God, in Zion. And to thee the eye shall the vow be performed. So here, here, here. Lam natsayach mizmor le David shir. Leka dumiya, tehila Elohim b'tzion. Ulika Yeshulam Neder. Ulika Yeshulam Neder. And to the eye the vow is performed, the vow is paid, the vow is made peace. Yeshalam, Yeshalam, Yeshalam. But the first part of the sentence, the Beit verse here in the Hebrew, Lecha Dumiya Tehila Elohim B'Tzionah. Praise. Lecha, Lecha, to the eye male, Lecha, Lecha, Dumiya. Wait for he who be, who he be. To the eye, wait, saying she, my soul is waiting, the soul is waiting for he who be, who he be, he be, who he be. Tehillah, 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 praise, the Elilta, praise, Elohim, true good, true God, B'Tzion, B'Tzion. Now this often is brought out in the Hebrew, right, to be compared with the today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech Beit, the 62nd psalm. Only for God, Elohim, doth my soul wait in stillness. Now the analogy and the probable, one of the probable reasonings and meanings is that praise, like prayer, tehillah, tehillah, like tefillah, right, like tefillah, tefillah, prayer, tehillah, praise. Praise like prayer is often truest when in deep and still devotion it waits, or she, speaking psychically of the soul, she waits in the presence of perception, right, to perceive he who be, to perceive what it is, right, the presence of Elohim, the true good, the true God. The concourse of people in Ha-Hekal, in the temple, looks forward in reverential silence for the service, the Abodah, right, of thanksgiving, of the Torah to begin. So this is one sense that this is brought out, and this is the final place within the Hebrew scriptures that we have the word dumiya. But now, Dumiya, the H-1747 is from the H-1820, Dhamma. The root is Dhamma, Dhamma. So this makes it logical and likely that the Yah there has to do as we have in the Midrash for Yah, the wait. Wait, do me, Dhamma, do me, which is the root. Dhamma is to cease, to cause, to cease, to cut off, to destroy, to perish, cease. And having a sense of do me, right, silence, it is speaking of the psychical silence of the nefesh, of the psyche, of the soul, of she, right, to cut off all that psychic chatter, right, to be dumb or silent, right. Hence, the sense is to fail or to perish, perish, continue chatting, soul, right, speaking to she, speaking to the bridegroom, right, the bride, right, we have the bride and the groom, right, she's speaking, right, now she has to cut off that chatter, right, the sense of it is to destroy, Dhamma, Dhamma, to cease, to cut it down, cut it off, to destroy it, to be brought to silence, to be undone utterly, like when somebody says, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done, it's like that sense when somebody says, or a woman would say, I'm done, the soul has to be brought to that point, right, has to be brought to that point in faithfulness, right? It says obedience is that true, the truest worship, right? To be cut off right there. That's why the idea even brought out by the translator is only for Elohim, right? To source, doth my soul, now she, does she wait in silence? Does she, do me ya, now she? So here we have even a sense of a command, do me, wait, wait, saying to the soul for her to wait, right? Cut off the chatter for he who be. It'll be what it be, it is what it is, now she, cut it off. Cut it off. And the next part of the verse is, Mimenu Yeshuati. Mimenu, Mimenu Yeshuati. From him, from he who he be, come Yeshuati. Come Yeshuati. My Yeshua, my salvation. So the soul's salvation, right? Yeshua, Yeshuati, comes from him. So thus, wait. Wait in silence. Now here, this brings us here to the second area of commentary on today's daily psalm in the opening. Right, the mystic Hebrew, right, the Hebrew HD right here, with Yod and He, with Yod and He, or the Hebrew Y and the Hebrew H, Yod, Yud, Yad, and He, he formed worlds. This here, literally, for the Lord is God, an everlasting rock, an everlasting rock. For the Lord is God, an everlasting rock, bringing out that part, that's the second note right here, and this is based on Yeshaya. Based on the passage in Isaiah, as we open up with Isaiah chapter 26 and 4. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 26 and 4, where the translator here says, wait ye upon the Lord, upon Jehovah forever. We find that here in 26 and 4, it has one form of it is trust ye. Bitachu, 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 by Yahuwah, edei ad. The second part of the verse is, ki for beyah, Yahuwah. Sora olamim. Here the Hebrew says ki for bi ya in ja in he who be Yahuwah in he who be who he be in he who be who he be sor sor rock sor olamim. The sor olamim is the eternal rock, the everlasting rock. So this phrase here from Yeshaya from Isaiah chapter 26 verse 4. The bait part, the B part, the second part of the verse, where it has the Lord is God. In the Hebrew it says, ki for b'yah, Yahuwah, b'yah, in Jah, Jehovah. If they were to translate this the way it is here in the Hebrew, ki b'yah, Yahuwah, sor olamim, for in Jah, Jehovah, rock of ages is another form of it. In fact, let's just look at the KJV because we're looking in Hebraically here. And it'd be good to compare with the King James Version. Now here in the KJV, King James Version, this is in chapter 26, the worship and testimony of restored and converted Israel. This is in the section of Isaiah, the worship and testimony of restored and converted Israel. So here the KJV says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, this is one of the few places they have Jehovah within the KJV, Yahuwah, 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 Jehovah is everlasting strength. We have this translated as everlasting strength, right? And here, the rock of ages. Here's the Hebrew sense of the rock of ages. Because as we were translating this right here, we're like, Sor Olamim, Sor rock, Olamim, Olamim, would be like a world. He is the rock of worlds, i.e., he is the rock of ages. So here in the marginal note, in the Scofield Study Bible, it says, Hebrew rock of ages, and then it points us to Deuteronomy, to Devarim, Deuteronomy 32 and 4. So let's go to Deuteronomy 32 and 4 right here. Right? Thoroughly seeking he who be, who he be. Right? Darash, Doresh, the study, 32 and 4. 32 and 4 right here. Here we go right here. It says, he is the rock, his work perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And also what's of interest, that in the season of tabernacles, Chag HaSukkot, in the season and the Torah portion, in that season, Ha'azinu, the connection right here, again, and according to the royal order, the Ethiopian Hebrews, these psalms, how they reflect on the central truth. So here it says, we're in the Ha'azinu chapter, the Non Gimel, Non Gamel, 53rd Parsha, here in the Lamed Beit, right, chapter 32. And we have the translations, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Here the Hebrew, Hatzor, Hatzor, the rock. Hatzor, Hatzor, the rock. Hatzor tamim, pa'olo, pa'olo, his work, pa'olo, tamim, tamim, pa'olo, his work is tamim. It's tamim, nothing more, nothing less, it's right and accurate. Hatzor, tamim. Pa'olo, ki kola derakayo, ki kola derakayo, mishpat, for all his ways are justice, ki for kola derakayo, mishpat, mishpat, are judgment, mishpat, judgment, el emuna, we ain't awel, with vein avel, with ain avel, and without iniquity, without twistedness, a tzaddik, just tzaddik, right? We have tzaddik, right? Just and right is he. We yashar hu, and just and righteous who is he? We yashar hu, tzaddik. Wiyashar hu, just and right is he. So here is the connection here with the note that we have with Yod and Hey. He formed the worlds. This world as well as the Olam Haba. This world as well as the world to come. And this is based on the Midrash study, right? The study from the ancient scholars of Torah, and here in the Psalms, trust ye in Jehovah forever, for the translator says Jehovah is God, an everlasting rock. Here we have Bitachu Vayahua Edei Ada Kiya Baya Yahuwah Sora Olamim. For in Yah Yahuwah Sor Rock Olamim, rock of strength, right? Strength, right? Everlasting rock, rock of ages. Sor Olamim, rock of ages. Rock of worlds, olamim of the worlds. Ribon shel olamim, master of the universe. He's the rock, the tzor olamim. Ribon shel olamim. This world was created with the letter He, the Hebrew letter He. This world was created with the letter, the Hebrew letter, He, the H, the Hebrew letter, He. For in the verse from Bereshith, Genesis 2 and 4, that reads, these are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created. Here, to the first book, so the last book of Torah, Devarim, and then here to Bereshith, Genesis, the Beit, chapter 2, verse 4. In the Hebrew, we have this, Eile toldot hashamayim v'ha'aretz b'hibaram. So here they have, next to created, b'hibaram, B-H-B-R apostrophe M. B, pointed here as b'hibaram. Now, if you look at the Hebrew, you notice that the H after the bait is half the size, or less than half the size. B'hibaram. In the day that he, b'yom sota Yahweh Elohim, eretz v'shamayim. Now, Hibaam, Behibaam, is not to be read as when they were created, but with hey created he them. So when we read the verse 9, just as when they were created, Behibaram, but as Behibaram, Behi, hey, hey, Baram, with hey created he them. And the Olam, the world, Haba, to come, was created with the letter Yod, with the letter Yad, with the Y, the letter Yod, Yad. Hence we have it with H and with Y and H he formed the world. So once again, the reading from Yeshaya, Isaiah, Esaias chapter 26, verse 4, the second part of the verse, for the Lord is God, or in the KJV, King James Version reads it like this, the second part of verse 4, Isaiah 26, verse 4. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For in the Lord Jehovah is, Hebraically, the rock of ages. We have here the Hebrew, Ki B'yah Yahuwah Tzur Olamim. Ki for B'yah B'yod Hey B'yah Ki B'yod Hey Yahuwah Tzur Olamim. With Yod and Hey, he formed the world. B'yod Hey, ki bi yod hey, Yahuwah tzur olamim, or ki bi yah, Yahuwah tzur olamim, with yod and hey, with y and h, he formed the worlds. And why was this world created with the letter hey? Why was this world created with the Hebrew letter hey? To tell you that in the same way as a man utters the sound of hey, 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 the Hebrew, hey, letting it slip from his lips without movement of the lips. Hey, hey, hey may be said, letting it slip from his mouth without movement of the lips. So what does this tell us? In the same way as a man utters the sound of hey, the Hebrew sound of hey, hey, letting it slip from his mouth without movement of the lips and without pressure of the tongue. So Elohim created the world without any drudgery and without any labor. Even here, as is said in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Bidavar Yahuwah Shamayim Na'esu. By the word of Yahuwah, Jehovah, he who be, who he be. Bidavar Yahuwah. Be Devar Yahuwah Shamayim Anasu. By the word, the Devar, be Devar, by the Devar, the word, Yahuwah, he who be, who he be. Shamayim, the heavens, Naasu, were made. The verse in Isaiah, in Isaiah 26 and 5 that reads, for he hath brought down them that dwell on high, for he hath brought down them that dwell on high. Ki heshach, ki heshach, Yoshvei Marom. For he hath brought down them that dwell on high. Ki heshach, Yoshvei Marom. And the verse, the foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor. In Isaiah 26, the next verse 6. Ti remasena ragel. The foot shall tread it down. Ragle oni paime dalim. Even the feet of the poor and the steps. Paime dalim. Of the dalim. And the steps of the needy. Tia remasena. Ti remesena ragel, the foot shall tread it down. Ti remesena ragel, ragle ani, even the feet of the poor. Paime dalim, and the steps of the needy. And also the verse from Micah chapter 4, verse 13, where it reads, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. Umi wadoshi bat Zion, arise and thresh. Here in Micah, Micah chapter 4, here at verse 13. Umi wadoshi bat Zion, arise and thresh. Umi wadoshi, ancient Hebrew pointing. Umi wadoshi bat Zion, O daughter. Bat Zion, bat Zion, daughter of Zion. Umi wadoshi bat Zion, arise and thresh. Kumi, rise up, speaking to she. Wadoshi, vadoshi, and thresh. Vat Zion, O daughter, Zion. This implies that HaKadosh, Baruchu, that the Holy One, blessed be He, spoke thus, like this, to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons, to the children of Israel, to the Israelites. Quote, I shall redeem you, but not before you have known trouble. I shall redeem you, but not before you have known trouble. And by what means shall I make you know trouble? With Jedutun. That is, with the judgments and trials thou wilt impose upon I. Hence, hear in today's daily psalm, hear, it is said. Al Yedutun, with Jedutun. Truly my soul waiteth upon Elohim. From him cometh my salvation. From him cometh I salvation. Ak il Elohim, dumiyah nafshi, mimenu yeshuati. Similarly, scripture says in 2 Chronicles 20 and 12, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, the eye. Neither know we, no I and I, what to do, but our eyes are upon the eye. 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. He only is my rock and my salvation. Hear, in the Gimel. The Gamel, Hebraically speaking, the third verse of today's daily psalm, Mizmor Samech Beit. Akhu Suri Wi Yeshuati. He only is my rock. Akhu, for sure. Surely he. Suri, my rock. Suri Wi Yeshuati. Wi Yeshuati. And my Yeshua, Wi Yeshuati. Akhu Suri Wi Yeshuati. What does rock mean? Sur, rock, suri, my rock. Sur means duress. Elohim put I under duress in this olam, in this world. And because of the duress he puts I under, he will save me, he will save I. Therefore, the verse, it concludes, he is my defense. I shall not be moved into the great place. He is my defense. I shall not be moved into the great place. Misagavi lo emota reba, my high tower. Elsewhere, this is read as my high tower. I shall not be greatly moved, or as he is my defense. Misagavi, he is my defense, misagavi. He is my defense. I shall not be moved into the great place. Lo emot reba. Lo emot reba. 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 Greatly. Great. Great place. Lo emot reba. The great place. What is the great place? The great place being a name for Gehinna. Gehinna. Hebrew hell. Fireplace. Gehinna. The place into which Harasha, the ratchet, and the Rishaim, the ratchet ones, they fall and stay. The place into that the wicked, the ratchet, fall and stay. So too in the verses from Eul, from Joel, Joel chapter 4, verse 13, the B part to verse 14, that reads, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision. The vats overflow, for their wickedness, their ratchetness is great. multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Hey, Shikua, Hayekari, Kireba, Ra'atam, Himonim, Himonim, Be'emeka, He, Harut. For the wine press is full, the vats overflow. For the vine press, for the vine press, ki mala gat, for the vine press is full, the vats overflow. Hey shikua, haya yikarim, for their wickedness, their ratchetness, great, for great, their ratchetness, their wickedness, ki rebah ra'atam, ra'atam, their ratchetness, rabah, rabah, ki rabah, ra'atam, himonim, himonim, multitudes, himonim, multitudes, himonim, be'aymeka, he charutz, in the valley, aymek, he charutz, of decision, be'aymeka, he charutz. What can valley of decision mean? What can Aimek Heharutz mean except that if a man fall into this valley, into this Emek, the judgment upon him is decided forever, forever. But in the hour of judgment, according to Joel, Uel, right, and today's daily psalm, I shall not be moved into the great place. Lo emota rabba, lo emota rabba, I shall not be moved into the great place. For though, Joel 6, 4 and 16 says, the Lord shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Yerushalayim, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Hear, 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 Yuel, Joel 4 and 16. Yahuwah, why Yahuwah, miyatzion, yishag, yishag, Yishag shall roar, and Jehovah, why Yehovah, Mitzion from Zion, Yishag, Yishag shall roar, Umi Yerushalayim yitain kolo, and utter his voice, his vocal, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, Umi Yerushalayim yitain kolo, and give. Yitain kolo, and give his voice, umi Yerushalayim, from Jerusalem. Wa Yehovah mi Tzion yishag. Ua mi Yerushalayim, yitain kolo. At the same time, the Lord will be a refuge to his people, Amo, and the strength of the children of Yisrael, of the children of Israel. With Ra'ishu Shamayim Wa'aretz, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But Jehovah and Jehovah, why Yehovah, and he who he be will be a refuge to his people. Why Yehovah, Machise Le'amo, and a stronghold, Uwa Ma'oz,